development of a abuse of tactics that President Obama has since disavowed. So the question right now is, how far is this investigation going to go? Is it going only going to focus on those who went beyond the bounds of these legal memos, which were themselves pretty suspect, or are they just going to focus on the few bad actors that went beyond those boundaries?
You know, I look at this and I ask the question, you know, is this going to undermine the morale of the CIA? I mean, these are the people who just followed the order. I mean, I was just following orders, defense, apply for these people, or should they be held accountable? Because I don't think Cheney or Bush are going to be held accountable. So should we be holding
accountable in terms of facing criminal charges? I think that's highly unlikely. But I think it's useful to kind of look at this whole process as a process of accountability. We need to find out what happened, who made it happen, who made the decisions that led to these abuses. And in terms of the morale of the Central Intelligence Agency, I think that's often important.
See what happens when I am away from the microphone for a couple of days. I forget how everything works. Thanks for the reminder to kill the replay. I don't know what the beginning of the program sounded like, but I'm sure it must have been confusing. But this is Tuesday, the 8th day of September. Labor Day weekend is over. And it might be a little bit weird getting through tonight because I'm not in the best of spirits. And I'm not in the best of spirits, probably for the same reason that maybe you're not in the best of spirits. Only I'm not in the best of spirits a little bit more so because I acted like some noob Pollyanna, you know, when David from Maine called on Friday and said, "Bob, do you think the Obama administration will hang Van Jones out to dry?" Well, you know, there's old Pollyanna Bob. "Oh, shucks, no, David, they wouldn't do that. They'll stand and fight." And even as I was saying it, I was listening to it, you know, the way I sort of monitor myself in my own head. And I was going, this is getting worse and worse and worse. And then, quietly, the Obama administration went about the business of hanging Van Jones out to dry. And I felt like I had eaten something bad. I felt like I had eaten something that was just souring on my stomach. Because, well, and I got an email a few minutes later from David from Maine who said, I want the toaster with the 4-barrel carbs and the dual mud flaps. And you get it. You get it, David from Maine. You win the toaster. Because Van Jones resigned over the weekend. Van Jones quit. And we don't know if he jumped or if he was pushed. But we do know that one of the boldest voices for the greening of the economy, one of the most profound change agents for examining how we go about the business of moving into the 21st century, no matter how desperately the Republican Party wants to remain in the 11th, is quit. Just quit. I've got the statement here. We'll go over it. But there's only one thing to say. And, well, no, there's not only one thing to say. There's a lot of things to say, and I encourage you to say some of them. I got the bumper for this one. Just hit me. Oh, I think this is going to work nicely. I think this just kind of has to happen. But anyway, Van Jones quit. He was an advisor to the president in the Council on Environmental Quality. And he has worked tirelessly through Green for All and Color of Change to bring about a little bit of empowerment in some of America's most fragile communities. And I am grateful, I must say, I am indeed grateful for some optimism on this, but I can't share it. Then again, I'm sure Reverbo's sitting out there saying, well, here it comes, he's going to ruin my day again. We wimped out. The thug-ass bullies came up and punched us in the nose, and we ran away crying. Those mean old bullies hit me again! We still haven't learned how to stand up to them. We still have not learned that the way you deal with a bully is to punch him back. Don Hazen, the head man over at Alternet, penned an article trying to find the silver lining to a very, very ominously storm-laden cloud in his response to the fact that a junkie on Fox News ran off one of the president's hand-picked advisors. Don Hazen went looking for some reason to feel good about it. So let's have a look and see if we can make this optimism stick. Five reasons why Van Jones and progressives are better off with Jones out of the White House, from alternet.org. Don Hazen says, the truth is progressives need Van Jones working on the outside, providing vision and leadership, not on the inside with his mouth buttoned. All right. He says, currently, it seems as if Fox News' Glenn Beck, who spent the past few weeks viciously smearing Jones, has won one. In fact, says Hazen, Beck has done Jones and all of us a mitzvah. For those of you who don't, that's a blessing, a goodness, I think. Hazen says, considering that the White House, and for that matter Washington's liberal establishment, failed to come to his defense in the face of relentless attacks by the right-wingers at Fox, Jones's liberation should make him a happy camper. Okay. So, let's see. Five reasons why we're all better off with Van Jones out of the White House. Whew. Sorry, that still hangs like a bone in the throat. One, now he's a household name. Beck has increased Jones's visibility and name recognition immeasurably. Although he's been wildly popular in progressive circles and a headliner at progressive conferences like Take Back America and the Netroots Nation, Jones was still a relative unknown for the population at large. Now he has a national stage. No. Okay, point one's not working for me because the national stage that he has now is a national stage that he shares bilious yellowed light like that was shown on the Reverend Jeremiah Wright. The national stage he has now is that of Van Jones, disgraced communist, 9/11 conspiracy theorist. Don Hazen says, number two, he's been rescued from obscurity. Now Jones is free to climb to a much higher level of visibility and influence millions of people in ways he couldn't at that White House job. Man, nah, it's not working for me either. Number three, he's the leader progressives need, let's face it. For reasons not altogether clear, there is no single powerful, articulate leader of progressive forces, which include many millions of Americans. It is time we have such a leader. I beg to differ, Don Hazen. That voice is out there. It's just that the main body of the Democratic Party does everything it can to keep that voice muzzled. And he refuses to sit down and shut up and continues to inspire, and his name is Dennis Kucinich. Hazen says those with the most popularity and name recognition among progressives, Michael Moore, Noam Chomsky, Bill Moyers, and Robert Wright, to mention a few, can't do what Jones can do. Donna Edwards and Keith Ellison are emerging in Congress as national leaders, and they will be not even a mention of Dennis Kucinich. He's gone. Disappeared. Doesn't matter. Doesn't count. Van Jones has a renewed charge to speak the truth. He says Jones was attacked by the right for basically saying what is true, that Republicans are assholes, but he also said I, Van Jones, can be one too. Can't we all? For all have assholed and come short of the glory of God, if you know what I mean. That green jobs organizing has to go far beyond solar panels, that African Americans are victimized by environmental racism, by white polluters, and the white environmentalists are essentially steering poison into the people of color's communities because they don't have a racial justice frame. And the biggie that the Bush administration had to be challenged on 9/11. So far, this is not working for me. These are not five good reasons to capitulate and run away in the face of Glenn Beck. And finally, five, he can provide real vision and organizing framework. He argues that Jones will be stronger, and I'm sorry, that just click goodbye. It doesn't work for me. I guess I'm a little bitter. I went out and played Pollyanna on Friday, and now I'm sitting here spitting feathers out of my mouth for all the crow that I'm eating. And I feel like a real freaking idiot for standing up for the Obama administration and saying, oh, no, they wouldn't hang him out to dry. No, heck no. I mean, this bothers me on about 92 dozen different levels. But let me try the one that is closest to home. You know full well what kind of a megaphone the right wing has. You know that for every hour of liberal talk or liberal conversation or liberal programming at all on the radio, that there are in excess of 1,000 hours of right-wing hate. You know that. You know that because it is a fact. And yet, those people who would have gladly come to Van Jones's defense and gladly excoriated that miserable piece of excrescence that is Glenn Beck, the people who would have done that weren't even given a chance. It was all one big Monty Python skit. Run away! Run away! Yes, run away! What does this say about what the so-called mainstream Democratic Party thinks of the attempts of folks behind microphones and folks in front of television cameras to do the hard work of beating back the vicious, hate-filled, noxious, neo-fascist right wing? Going it alone didn't work so well for them. So we build a little infrastructure. And the moment when we could have had the pushback, when the liberal blogosphere could have really, really, really shined, it didn't even get a chance. Before the Obama administration had wet its pants and run away. Brave Obama ran away. No, bravely ran away, away. He didn't. When danger when Beck reared his ugly head, Obama turned his tail and fled. Never! His brave Obama chickened out. Damn! When do we stand and fight? When does somebody pull the saber out, Colonel Travis-like, and draw the line in the damn sand? Who's next? I'm told that the next victim is going to be Cass Sunstein. But it doesn't really matter who the next victim is, except for the fact that there will be a next victim, and we will run away again. Run away! Yeah, here's Van Jones' resignation statement. I am resigning my post at the Council on Environmental Quality effective today. This was, of course, September the 6th. On the eve of historic fights for health care and clean energy, opponents of reform have mounted a vicious smear campaign against me. They are using lies and distortions to distract and divide. Well, duh. I have been inundated with calls from across the political spectrum urging me to stay and fight. Then why did you not listen? But I came here to fight for others, not for myself. I cannot in good conscience ask my colleagues to expend precious time and energy defending or explaining my past. We need all hands on deck fighting for the future. Well, there's one less hand on deck now, Van Jones. It has been a great honor to serve my country and my president in this capacity. Okay, you hardly got your chair warm. I thank everyone who has offered support and encouragement. You're welcome. We would have been a lot more grateful if you had done the job that you were set there to do and realized the fact that you are dealing with a bunch of damn punks, Van, who do this kind of thing. You cannot spend your life running away, Van Jones. Can't run away because you can't get away, because as long as you are within the territorial confines of the United States of America, the right-wing smear machine will always be at your back. Until you turn around and ball up your fist and you reach all the way back into God knows where and deliver that fist into their face like Ali hitting Sonny Liston. I am proud to have been able to make a contribution to the clean energy future. Van, we would have liked it a lot more if you would have stuck around long enough to make that contribution count. I guess he doesn't know the number of people who were so excited in Appalachia when we heard him on the podium, behind the podium, on the stage at the Good Jobs, Green Jobs conference saying, we must turn Appalachia from a sacrifice zone into a sacred zone. And the entire room, steel workers, environmentalists, activists of all age, color, creed, cheered. Down in the Coal River Valley, there was real excitement when he was named to the Council on Environmental Quality, because we finally thought that that person who wanted to turn Appalachia from a sacrifice zone into a sacred zone would have the ear of people to whom he could deliver that message and make that message count, and now he has quit and run away. Because the administration,
for which he worked would not stand up and deliver that balled-up fist into the face of Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck wants to start talking about Van Jones being a commie 9/11 conspiracy theorist? Well, why did the White House not stand up and start talking about Glenn Beck being a junkie? You and I both know the answer to that. Because they're scared to. They are afraid to. They're afraid that Glenn Beck will say something mean about them again. Bless his heart, John Podesta, the president and CEO of the Center for American Progress Action Fund, issued a statement saying, clearly, Van was the subject of a right-wing smear campaign shrouded in hypocrisy. Van's chief tormentor, Glenn Beck, who spent weeks engaged in vicious name-calling, retains his perch at Fox News after calling the president a racist, who has a deep-seated hatred for white people. Van has set a standard that Beck would never impose upon himself. My, aren't those some fancy, fine, big words from John Podesta. They are inspiring. But sometimes you just have to come out and get all Harry Truman and say, Glenn Beck's a son of a bitch. Because Harry Truman did that, you know. Back when Democratic presidents had spines. Glenn Beck is empowered, by the way. He issued a statement saying, the American people stood up and demanded answers. Instead of providing them, the administration had Jones resign under cover of darkness. I continue to be amazed by the power of everyday Americans to initiate change in our government through honest questioning, and judging by other radicals in the administration, I expect that questioning to continue for the foreseeable future. You just made my career, Mr. Jones. Bless your heart. I'll get a raise now. Okay, sorry, that last part I made up. But it's true. Sometimes it makes me sick to be a part of a party of runaway sissy panty wastes. The people who go door to door and knock on doors and ask people to put out yard signs during political campaign seasons do so at some risk to their own personal safety. Sometimes they get doors slammed in their faces, sometimes they get threatened. But because there is so much at stake, they don't go home and quit doing it. They load up with the signs, the handbills, the whatevers, the next day, and go and work the next neighborhood. And they don't do it so that they can watch the president hang his appointees out to dry. You know, it's just us talking here. But I'm going to give voice to something that many of you have already said to me, and that I have not been willing to acknowledge until this time. But this particular incident seemed freighted with more relevance than perhaps we might otherwise have known. The President of the United States just let a little pipsqueak junkie run off one of his chosen advisors. Who does that? Don't worry, this isn't going to show up as a headline in the New York Times tomorrow or anything. Bob Kincaid says, no, sorry, I don't have Beck power. But what we are looking at, what we are looking at are the actions of a one-term president. Because he still even this many months into his term, does not understand the way you fight back against these monstrous, god-awful, hypocritical bullies. And they will bully him all the way to the 2012 elections. Mark the date, September the 8th, 2009. Bob Kincaid says Barack Obama will be a one-term president. Please understand that it gives me no joy in saying it. Please understand that in saying it, I am filled with fear and loathing and depression, because I don't know who they're going to run, but, you know, Bush Jindal 2012, Jindal Palin 2012. Whatever it is, something wicked this way cometh. And whatever it is going to be the president on the president-elect on the morning after the election day 2012. Because this administration doesn't understand how you deal with a goddamn bully. How long did we make just demands for the resignation of Donald Rumsfeld? How long? But by God, the other side, our side may not get it, but the other side gets it big time. And they told us to sit down and shut up, that they won and they were going to run things the way they saw fit. And they did. And thanks to a murderous little war criminal like Don Rumsfeld, more mothers wept over more flag-draped boxes than ever should have. But at the mere smear of commie, we have lost a dedicated public servant who could have made real differences in real people's lives. And I'm not inclined, you know, I expect Glenn Beck to be Glenn Beck. I expect Fox to do what Fox says. But I am sick unto my gut of watching the people that we put our lives on the line for I'm sick of watching them hang us out to dry. And I read you the statement from Glenn Beck. Don't think that this doesn't have some carryover effect. If you'll recall, we had a little hate fest here in wild, wonderful, almost level West by God, Virginia yesterday. Oh, it featured a washed-up country act named Hank Williams Jr. and a former rock star draft dodger named Ted Nugent. And it also featured... God, that life support system for a haircut, Sean Hannity. And he had the news in his hand, and he was proud to give it to the right-wing knuckle walkers that came to attend that hate fest down in Logan County. Here, you want to get a little sicker? Here, how about a little bit of... How about a little gloating? It's not pleasant, but I've already heard it, so you get to, too.
Do you want another czar?
No.
I don't think so. By the way, we got one. We got rid of one. And my job starting tomorrow night is to get rid of every other one. I promise you that.
Who are they after? Like I said, Cass Sunstein. They're after Mark Lloyd. They're off after Carol Browner. If Barack Obama tapped the returned Jesus Christ himself, Glenn Beck would call him a commie and demand his resignation, and the Obama administration would say, "See you later, Jesus. You got to go. Glenn Beck doesn't like you. He's already called you a commie. It's bad for our approval ratings. Can you be out in 5 minutes? There are repig-licking lawmakers out there who are screaming that the president, the elected president, not even close, big runaway victory, elected president, should be barred from appointing more advisors until the administration addresses these weird-ass little right-wingers' constitutional concerns. Representative Jack Kingston is a repig-licking from Georgia. You remember him. I think he was the one who was pissing and moaning about having to actually go to work during the week. He's now established a standard for presidential advisors that was not, it wasn't a standard that was enunciated for George W. Bush's appointees, nor for his daddy's, or for Clinton's, or for Reagan's, or Carter's, or none. He wants every single appointee to get hung up in that stodgy old debating society where Republicans can stop things in their tracks that's called the United States Senate. By the way, Kingston's bill has 34 co-sponsors to it. That bill would stop taxpayer dollars from being used, quote, for any task force, council, or similar office which is established by or at the direction of the president and headed by an individual who has been inappropriately appointed to such position on other than an interim basis without the advice and consent of the Senate. And I'm sure out there is some member of the Obama administration saying, "Oh, we could live with that." Punch these bastards in the face. Van Jones is a strong man. Van Jones is an imposing man. Why not? I know this goes against some of the things that I've said in the past, but why not set some conditions and say, "Glenn Beck, I'll be happy to come on your show and debate you. We'll do it live. There won't be a dump button, and the cameras will be set on us static, and they will not be moved. It'll just be you and me." And then when Glenn Beck goes commie, go across the table and beat him to a bloody freaking pulp. Somebody has to stand up to these punk-ass bastards. Sad. Sad that we have not elected anyone with the starch to do so. So the phones are lit up. I hope you'll stay with me. We'll take a little break. That was 33 minutes of pretty dry talk, and I need a little break before we go to the phones. And besides, with a bumper like this, how can you not? This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn.
Oh yeah. Light the candle. I've sent to made home hurt it like a thousand times before. Like the castle in his corner in a medieval game, I foresee terrible trouble and I stay here just the same. I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh yeah.
Yeah, see why I had to play it? Steely Dan from the Can't Buy a Thrill album, 1972. Dirty Work. I'm a fool, as in, I'm a fool to do your. And it really does. It makes, I mean, granted, I understand there's no direct connection between, you know, some little pissant radio talker on the internet and what goes on in the halls of power. I understand that. But we've built a little community of dedicated, activist-driven folks who share their time in this conviviality and this collegiality, and you've proven it to me time and again. You make the calls, you knock on doors, you letter your congressman, you stand up and you talk in your communities. That's the kind of activist radio and activist community we've built here, and we don't even get a chance to do the work before the White House runs up the white flag, pisses its pants, and runs away. God damn it makes me mad. I'm sorry, that's three of those in one show. I apologize for the sake of little Timmy and little Cindy and little Susie and everybody else who's never heard those words before, but this makes me so blessed mad I can hardly see straight. And I guess I'm not doing anything more than saying how mad I am, but here, just for the record, I'm hurt too. And I know you are as well. Oh, well, it's just another day being a Democrat, isn't it? One more line to light up if you want to. Now, don't hang up, okay? We're going to get through all these phone calls. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, good evening.
Well, you are the man. Did your toaster arrive yet?
No, it hasn't.
It'll be there any day.
I'm about to have my act on... On TV, I'm taking the place of Amazing Kreskin. I'm thinking of going with a Bengal tiger and a purple cloak and a turban. Although I know if I wear that turban, I know what program I'll be on next, the Glenn Beck program.
Yeah, well, exactly. And, you know, you're more than welcome to have my cracked magic eight ball that always says answer hazy, ask again later. But, you know, I don't think you need it, David.
And just for half disclosure, with my last name, they would think I was a terrorist, but, you know. I mean, anyways. Oh, man. I mean, let's start off with the obvious. Everything that Glenn Beck has, when someone says that's all they got, don't listen to that anymore. He's on Twitter right now, and he's asking for to find out information on the people that you named. But more so than that, He has capital now, and he's moving fast, and he's going to throw more people off the bus than you can fathom. I have a question. Where, you know, when we listen to Netroots Nation, I listened to parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard Valerie standing up for Van Jones, saying, what a great member of a cabinet. I didn't hear her at all last week. I didn't hear her come to his defense. And, you know, that I guess that's the thing that gets me is, like, the fact that no one comes to anyone's defense and says, why aren't we allowed to have opinions in America now? Well, what has happened to this country where we can't have strong opinions? I seem to remember Karl Rove and Rumsfeld. Let's go down the list. Cheney. You know how you can tell Glenn Beck is fake? Here's how you can tell he's fake. Will this guy ever attack Mike Pence? Will he ever attack Mike Pence for the Blackwater Association? No.
No.
But you know what's crazy? You listen to his program, and he talks about private military on the streets in the United States. That's what Obama's planning. It's like, Jesus Christ, how can you be so disconnected? And that's the problem we face, is that the fact that that's not addressed, the fact that there's no one with a microscope. But I do have to give it up to Keith Olbermann. What he said on the Daily Coast blog, if he means it, I hope he learned his lesson, that you can't hide from Roger Ailes. Anyone who thinks they can hide from Roger Ailes, you better snap out of that dream right now.
You can't hide from something that's on your ass 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's impossible.
Exactly. And here, you know what? I think it's time, if it's at all possible, we somehow barge our way into these conferences. And they don't have to say a word. They just listen to these phone conferences, what we have to say. Because I think it's time someone expressed some emotion where it comes concern this. Because I didn't invest my time and my energy to a cabinet that does not stand for its convictions, does not stand for its fellow members.
You just nailed it, David. This is a matter of them not having the courage of their convictions.
Right. And that's the problem.
If Van Jones was worth putting on the White House staff, he was damned well worth fighting for. You know,
the people in the middle, the centrists, the people who are not so sure, neutral all the time with both parties, what do you think this does to them? I'll tell you what it does. They say, well, these guys are pussies. That's what they're saying. So you want to keep doing, that's the strategy, you want to keep doing that? Who is the one, I want to know this, who is the one who shouted at Barack Obama for the last 4 or 5 years that's turned him into this really silent person? Who is the one that turned Van Jones into this?
David Axelrod.
It's got to be. Either that or Rahm Emanuel, he showed him the dead fish or the dead horse or something.
You've got an offer.
Yeah.
From Lottie in the chat room.
Yeah.
David, if you're going on Beck's show, I'll trade you Bob's 8-ball for my Ruger.
That sounds like a deal. We'll have to work something out on that. No, but, I mean, the whole thing with, it's time for people to understand this. And I can't believe that people are trying to spin this into a thank you. I saw that Arianna Huffington column, and I just wanted to throttle something. She loudly said on the page, where do you think, thank you, Glenn Beck, in capital letters. I'm not kidding you, Bob.
I know. I saw it, too. I saw it, too. But then again, in many ways, Ariana's gotten to the point for me that I can't listen to her without hearing Lisa Douglas from Green Acres, okay? I mean, she's just a clown. I don't care how many times the Bill Maher has her on the program. Oh, Bill, I love you so much. No, screw it.
But
it's over.
But then you have to remember the fact that I really would like to see some of these strategies that Arianna Huffington did when she was a Republican, because it makes a lot of sense how she plays these cards this way on the Huffington Post and being a quote-unquote.
I mean, why not just have all of the president's advisors quit now en masse and save Glenn Beck the time and hassle? Because the thing is, he can't get them all together, but he will, by God, pick them off one by one.
I know.
Because Barack Obama's administration has, not because he has the power, but because Barack Obama has just given him the power.
I guarantee you, Bob, things would shift if someone stood up and said, I don't see why we can't have strong opinions in areas where we disagree, and just continue to hammer that line. If someone did that...
Oh, but my God, we can have strong opinions, but Van Jones called Republicans assholes!
Yeah. You know, did you listen to Brad Friedman last night on Mike Malone? He made a good point.
I didn't get a chance, no.
He said, so Van Jones can't say a-holes, but Dick Cheney on the Senate floor can go tell Leahy to F himself. And I thought, you know what? That political amnesia has struck again. I didn't even think of that example. But he's right on. He's head on.
Yeah. But again, you know, welcome to IOKIYAR. It's okay if you're a Republican. I mean, look, that particular word, the first time that Cheney and Dim Sun were running for president in 2000, you remember the New York Times reporter? And they were caught, and Tweedledum and Tweedle Hateful were caught off, what they thought was off mic, but it was on mic. And Bush says, yeah, that feller's a real asshole. And Cheney said, Major League.
Yeah, he said big time.
But then again, you know, white people can use those words, David.
You know what? That is true. Look at another example would be, can you imagine if...
I mean, I guess that word is the sort of racial equivalent of a dashiki and a big fro or something. I don't know. You know, well, you know, he's clearly a radical, angry black man. He called Republicans.
I really have to say this. Van Jones needs to take a page. I really hope he appears on. I'm hoping he appears on Olbermann because he owes a lot of explaining to do a lot of people. He can't just hide forever.
I'd rather see him appear on Bill Maher, where all the words can come out, and he can call Glenn Beck a mother.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Maher took a bad time to take a vacation. He's on a 2-week break or 3-week or whatever. And to me, I always say, Bob, you can't take week vacation breaks. You need to have something there to to respond to. But the thing that really gets me is why hasn't taken anyone Karl Rove's number one golden rule? Never apologize. Just stand for what you believe in, even if it's repulsive. It seemed to have worked for him. The Democrats don't understand that.
But it don't. But David. It only works. It only works if you're willing to stand there and keep standing there.
Right.
You know, if I mean, right now, okay. A, we don't stand there. B, if we did stand there, we'd stand there for like a split second before we ran away.
You know what it's like, Bob? The intensity of the magnifying glass when you put it in the sun. We've built such an intolerance to ourselves in the media spotlight. When that comes out and the sun lands on us, we immediately have to run away because it burns.
Yeah.
That's how insensitive we've become to any exposure. And we need to understand that.
I mean, this has slapstick qualities about it. You know, the one where the guy says, hey, look, over there. And the guy turns, and the guy who said, hey, look over there, all of a sudden just bolts, runs.
I guarantee you, Bob, Keith Olbermann was probably screaming at his...
Well, I was going to add, do you think this matters to somebody like Olbermann? I mean,
Well, you heard what he said, didn't you? That's why I brought up Olbermann.
No. I'm sorry.
Olbermann said on the Daily Coast blog, he said, that does it. This over. Find me everything you can in capital letters on Roger Ailes and Glenn Beck immediately. Send it all to me. Which he should have done as soon as he got the job, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, but that's the thing. It's not like he got a look. It's out there. Glenn Beck has called for people's murder on the air. And he's got, and not only, you know, he did that on CNN. He did that on the radio before he got the gig at CNN. It's why he got the CNN gig.
If you're a Republican, you get promoted for that kind of crap. But if you're a Democrat in a Democratic presidential administration and you say a-hole, you lose your job.
I think a lot of journalists are going to have to come out again, invest reporters, and start setting up seminars where you invite a lot of these media broadcasters. Can you imagine like a Greg Palast investigative journalism seminar? Or something to that degree.
Yeah, ELO in the chat room is telling me right now that Glenn Beck has a piece on the Fox News website, and the title, Don't Congratulate Me for Van Jones' Resignation. Don't congratulate me.
Yeah, don't. Yeah.
Okay, well, this I got to see.
You got to play the I'm just a guy role. That's what he plays. I'm just a clown.
Just a rodeo clown.
Yes.
Oh, God, I guess now I got to drag out just a gigolo. Jesus, it's hard.
But anyway.
But you're going to enjoy the hell out of that toaster with the wide bagel slices and the chromium-plated, fully illuminated genuine accessory shift knob and the Holley four-barrel carb and the dual chrome-plated mud flaps. I mean, it's a hell of a toaster, David.
Before I go, I want to say one last thing. That Matt Taibbi piece is a dynamo in Rolling Stone. I hope everyone faxes it to every single congressman and senator in fax line distance, I guess. Because to me, that's exactly the kind of conversations and discussions we have about the inequality that's happening right now. And I tell you what, I'm guaranteeing you that Obama tomorrow, if you're an Obama supporter, you're not going to like hearing this, but it's pretty much evident that this guy is not ready to fight yet. When will he be? We don't know, but his one term is still effective as of now. And it's looking pretty bad, people.
Yeah, to say the very least.
With that, Bob, all I can say is keep on believing and critically thinking through this stuff, and keep sharing and spreading your wisdom and knowledge.
Wisdom I have little, knowledge I have some.
Well,
nights like this, anger I got plenty.
Well, I say. We need a voice like that, and it's. At least we have that. What it accounts for, we'll see. But we can't just stop talking about it, and we can't just get in that space.
And you know, it does my heart no good to deliver something like this. But damnation, David, what am I supposed to do? Say, my, that was a brave and manly thing the administration did in kicking Van Jones under the bus.
You know, I think it's time that we.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but let me just get this out there too. This is no Obama Juan Kenobi moment either. He hasn't outsmarted Glenn Beck by throwing Van Jones under the bus.
Yeah, Glenn Beck.
This is not political jujitsu. And I'm not being, I don't mean that to be mean, because right, you know, right. I've made the argument too. Well, you know, he's smarter than all of us by a factor of 10, and he sees this 19 political plays down the road, and this is going to work out great, and they're going to look like idiots. This was just plain old fashioned craven political cowardice.
I'm telling you right now, if people are in distance. If you're in immune distance to any of these members of the cabinet, and you can approach them and talk to them and ask them questions, and if they seem generally interested in you, sort of bring up some of the things we talk about here, even if it's painful for them to hear, because that's when we really need to break that barrier, Bob. We need to hope someday that people hear this. Who are on the cabinet members who say,
you know, it reminds me of that editorial editorial cartoon of all the terrified little donkeys that are Democrats standing over in together, huddled together in the room, pointing at that thing in the corner and say, my God, what is that? And the thing in the corner is a spine.
You know, One last thing. There are a lot of people throwing their tickets on the floor like a racehorse for this administration. I mean, people better start wising up real fast, because I don't even think you have 6 or 7 months. You better start wising up right now, even if it's little by little by increments. It has to happen now, Bob, or it's never going to happen. There is no second term. You can't think like that. Republicans don't think like that.
David, thanks a million, brother.
All right, later.
Later. Keeping it rolling. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, is it me?
It's you.
Hi, Larry here.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, I just had to say, yeah, I feel exactly the way you do. You know, I don't think we really have two political parties in this country. We have one, the corporate party, and what we have then are two teams, maybe of the league or theatrical parties or something that entertain us. But I don't think there are really two parties. I think it's like the NFL. You know, they don't care what team you root for as long as you buy a ticket. And
or maybe the France family at NASCAR.
Yeah, there are a couple of guys in there, you know, Dennis Kucinich and Bernie Sanders and maybe some others who are just bad boys in there, but the rest of them, let's face it, they're bought and paid for. And have you followed anything on this support case that's coming sort of out of sequence in September here?
I'm sorry, I lost you there. What kind of case?
A Supreme Court case on campaign finance.
Oh, yeah, you mean the one revolving around that stupid DVD that got circulated?
Right.
Yeah, I was reading a little bit from Bill Moyers about that earlier today, and they're predicting really nasty things out of it.
Yeah, if they throw out all the campaign finance controls of any kind, you know, and go the straight libertarian line that, you know, money is speech and corporations are people, it's over, you know. Might as well just go down to the beach and enjoy myself fishing as long as I can.
Well, yeah, and you know what? Maybe the libertarians have a point, Larry, because I ain't got a lot of money, and my letters and my emails and my speech and my speech don't count for much as a result.
That's right, and you know, you're not a corporation, right?
No, I'm just little old me.
Right, and you don't have vast sums of money available. But, you know, the state of the American people, and I maintain that they're just getting dumber by the minute. Have you noticed that?
Actually, the continuum of stupid that I observe, Larry, is such that I'm so awash in it. You know, when you look at the right wing and so forth, that it's hard to tell what stupider is, because every time I've thought that I've seen them reach the sub-basement of stupid, they open the trap door and there's more underneath.
Yeah, I imagine you get the email forwards from your friends and relatives and such.
Oh yeah.
The nasty ones.
Oh yeah, I've seen an abundance of them. Yes.
Yeah. Most of this anti-Obama stuff is, of course, racially based.
Well, you know that there is an outcry now, and knowing how you feel, knowing the things that you're involved with, Larry, like American atheists and so forth, you might find this interesting. The mayor of Clarksville, Tennessee, has recently been dinged for sending around an anti-Muslim email. Demanding that all patriotic Americans protest a postal service stamp that commemorates the Islamic holiday of Eid. All right? And he says that He says that the stamp is being promulgated by the U.S. Postal Service because Obama is a Muslim, and that it's the patriotic duty of every American to oppose it. I was surprised, said Johnny Piper, the mayor of Clarksville, Tennessee. I was surprised at a stamp being developed and would have thought others would be, too. I don't see any reason why my email would have been inappropriate. There's only one problem, of course, Larry.
Yeah.
The stamp was first issued in 2001 during the Bush administration. It was reissued in 2002 and 2006, 2007, and 2008, and Johnny Piper never uttered a peep.
Yeah, but Bob, you're talking about reality and information. That doesn't count. You know, it's almost the Eastern thought that, you know, what I think creates the reality. And what these yahoos think becomes real to them. But they are obsessed with the idea that there's a black guy. They don't use that term.
No.
And they are obsessed with it. They're consumed with it to the point of, mental dysfunction. And I know since you've lived where I've lived, you can detect that
from a mile away.
Yeah. Yeah. No matter how much they say, well, I'm not racist. You can tell. And it's driving people literally nuts.
And you know, all we can do is observe it. And the natural response of reasonable and rational people, Larry, is to say, well, what do we do to fix that? And I keep coming back to something that was said on this program, not by me. Sue, our chat room moderator, ELO, said you can't fix stupid. And that's a grim conclusion to reach, Larry. You can't fix stupid. Ignorance you can educate. Stupid is terminal.
That's right. And, you know, maybe it's that we're putting so much carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, it's displacing the oxygen, and, brains are suffering from oxygen deprivation.
Well, look at, we've been burning, sorry, I don't mean to always turn this toward things that point toward Appalachia, but still, we have been burning coal in this country for our various needs, be it electricity or industrial uses, for something going on 130 years at least, okay?
Yeah.
And for the most of that time, all of that stuff was going into the air completely unmodified up until the Clean Air Act of what, 1973?
Yeah.
That's a lot of mercury. That's a lot of selenium. That's a lot of barium. That's a lot of cadmium. That's a lot of poison. And that much mercury built up in a population over the course of nearly a century and a half is going to result in some residual stupid.
Yeah, there's another thing, too. There was a book by Al Gore, and I need to dig it out again.
Earth in the Balance?
No, that's a later one. And he cites a study saying that television, the short cycle, you know, pieces that we get in television actually affect the brain and keep you from developing full thoughts. That in the evolution of the human, it's set to be distracted because something moves over in the bushes, you know, it might be a predator.
Yeah.
And so the short-term television things we see is continually distracting our brain and driving it crazy. And I need to look up that study. It sounds like there may be something to it.
Actually, it makes perfect sense to me. I mean, look at the way writing has changed. You know, you got Charles Dickens out there being paid by the letter, who can spend 15 chapters describing a leaf. And now look at postmodern fiction.
Yeah.
It's one long distraction. And I know it in my own right, because I sit down and start writing, and pretty soon I start thinking, you know, I gotta end this. This has gone on too long.
Yeah.
Because my attention span starts to wander. Of course, you know, it's my whole world is one big distraction. Oh, look, a squirrel, you know, and the radio show could end.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know exactly what you're talking about. Larry, it's good to hear from you.
Okay. You know, I mentioned that much of this is racism, and I think part of that is having somebody below you on the ladder. You know, we've always had them down below us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if we were a laborer, you know, they were them. And now you got one of them up above, and that's just flipped the world upside down for many people.
Right, and that's the origin of this whole, I'm telling you, and it happened yesterday down in Logan County. We got to tell people that we're going to take our country back. Man, that rally down in Logan County was, I mean, it was whiter than a bar of ivory soap.
Yeah.
It's our country. We're going to take it back from them.
Yeah. Hey, my wife even wrote a poem about that, you know, the how everything's okay as long as there's somebody on the rung below you, and if they try to get past you, you step on their fingers.
There you go.
And,
exactly. Yeah.
And, of course, one of her things is country people who seem to be at the bottom rung, too. I mean, you know, people that have to work for a living.
Yeah, oh, exactly. You know, everybody's Daffy Duck. Mine, get away, get mine.
You know, the fascination with the stock market, which doesn't produce anything.
Yeah, it neither tarrieth nor doth it sow or reap or whatever that thing says.
Yeah, but we have this fascination with it. Like, if it goes up, everybody's making money, everybody's rich. You know, people make money in the stock market because somebody else lost. And another problem I have with the administration is Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
look, did you catch George Will coming out Sunday saying it's time to come home?
Yeah. You know, I've seen that reality show a long time ago. He called it Vietnam.
Doesn't end well, does it?
No. But I think the man's getting his advice from generals who have all lined up their post-retirement jobs in the war industry.
Yeah, ask a few sergeants, and I bet you get some different answers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, generals don't get there by hard work and intelligence. They get there by kissing asses.
Yeah, there's that meritocracy again.
And, I've seen it so much. It's supposed to be warrior, and they are absolutely terrified of offending each other.
It's like some sort of stylized theater.
You know, you can spend weeks trying to send a memo from one organization to another because one general might be a little higher on the pole than the other one, and you can't send a letter from one to the other. You got to find some parallel rung to send the letter across. Crap like that.
And it's all, I guess it's one big example of the second law of thermodynamics with everything moving toward entropy, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, or toward stupidity, as we were saying.
Maybe entropy is stupidity.
But, you know, looking down the road, who's the next one?
Cass Sunstein.
Well, that way, but, you know, previous caller said, hey, we're going to have a one-termer here.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I said that, too.
Okay, and who is the He was the bright light in the wings there.
You don't get no stupider than her.
Well, yeah, and you've got Mike Huckabee, and maybe there's somebody...
Huckstermy Palin 2012 kind of has a ring to it, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, then would Joe the Plumber be Secretary of State?
Oh, I don't know. How about him for Secretary... It's Plumber.
Head of NASA, I guess.
Yeah, or Secretary of Commerce for Joe the Plumber.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't matter. One of my friends, I mentioned this to one of my friends, and they said, what would you do if, you know, we had Palin, Huckabee, or some other such combination? And I said, well, I'd probably just go catatonic and try to shut the world out. It'd be over. I mean, so far as anything else goes.
Get me one of them hard hats that they wear to the NFL games that holds a whole six pack of beer and has six plastic straws coming off of it. I'm there.
Well, in that world, it doesn't get any better than that.
And so. Now we work in a beer slogan too. Oh, Larry, I don't know what we're gonna do, but at least we, as that wonderful line from that movie, John Sayles' movie Mate One, puts it, all we got in common is our misery. Reckon the least we can do is share it.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, Larry. Good to hear from you, brother.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. Calling from Florida, that's our pal Larry. And moving right along. Hey, welcome to the program.
Kevin from Brooklyn.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah, well, tomorrow will be the big night that I'll know whether or not I should have somewhat faith in this country or just pack it in and... move on.
You mean the speech?
Yeah.
I don't know. This Van Jones business put paid to a whole lot of my hopes.
Oh, I don't know. It's just, well, that to me is just the story of African-American males in the United States when it comes on to the employment. You know, you can't get too uppity.
Yeah, and it's interesting you would bring that up because Kevin in his rats. Well, I lost Kevin there. In his bragging about this phony baloney, don't congratulate me for Van Jones' resignation, which surprisingly appears to have suddenly decided to refresh itself. There it is. He says, Glenn Beck writes, what Van Jones doesn't understand is that I didn't bring down Van Jones. You didn't bring down Van Jones. Van Jones brought down Van Jones. Is it a smear campaign to quote Van Jones' own words? And then these are the quotes. I think that's probably Kevin, so Kevin, I'll be coming right back to you. These are the quotes, video clips. Van Jones says, this movement is deeper than a solar panel. Deeper than a solar panel. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. We're going to change the whole system. We're going to change the whole thing. We want a new system. We want a new system. Well, clear evidence that the man's a communist. And then there's this. And I can understand why Van Jones might say what he said on this next quote, because I was present in a room in which Van Jones spoke after Winona LaDuke had spoke. And Winona LaDuke is a powerful, powerful woman. Van Jones said, and our Native American sisters and brothers who were pushed and bullied and mistreated and shoved into all the land we didn't want where it was all hot and windy. Well, guess what? Renewable energy? Guess what? Solar industry? Guess what? Wind industry? They now own and control 80% of the renewable energy resources. No more broken treaties. No more broken treaties. Give them the wealth. Give them the wealth. Give them the dignity. Give them the respect that they all deserve. No justice on stolen land. We owe them a debt. And those were the words that Glenn Beck used to claim that Van Jones was an un-American communist. and this. The white polluters and the white environmentalists are essentially steering poison into the people of color communities. Excuse me? I didn't realize that Andrew Carnegie was a person of color. Nope, white. Mellon? White. Rockefeller? White! How many African Americans or Native Americans or Americans of something less than something darker than pink sit on the boards of GE or Halliburton or Dow Chemical or Union Carbide or DuPont? Huh? How many? What you have here in these quotes from Van Jones that Glenn Beck cites . Glenn Beck didn't run Van Jones because Van Jones was a commie. He didn't run Van Jones because Van Jones got a bunch of his advertising pull, or his organization, not Van Jones. What do these things have in common? A movement deeper than a solar panel. We're going to change the whole thing. We want a new system. Native American sisters and brothers. White polluters and white environments essentially steering poison into the people of color communities. What you have here is Glenn Beck running Van Jones because Van Jones dared to criticize. No, screw that. Van Jones dared to declare what white people have done to this nation and this world. Because in Glenn Beck's little sick, twisted, half-eaten, junky brain, white people are meant to rule the planet. You gotta remember, Glenn Beck is a member of a religion that only acknowledged persons of color as being fully human and possibly going off to the planet Kolob when they die in 1975! And that's the truth. That is, screw truth, that is a fact. So I think Kevin was right. Van Jones has been convicted of first degree uppity.
Yeah, he was uppity. And you know what? That's the worst you could do in this country, Bob, is be uppity. Worst, absolute worst thing. If you look at any black person of power, first of all, very few black people of power control white people. They control other black people, basically doing the dirty work for a lot of, so they can say capitalism or whatever works for black people also. And that is why these people show up with guns at these town hall meetings or wherever Barack Obama shows up, because you cannot tell me what to do.
God, it's all the trial of Tom Robinson in To Kill a Mockingbird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all about that. It's always been about that. And trust me when I tell you, there has never been a situation. Because, you know, my circle of friends, I can honestly say I come from a very middle class to probably affluent as far as my circle of friends are concerned. Or my inner circle, and not one of them I can say, you know, those who are in the corporate structure who are managers, rule over, you know, who supervise vast amounts of white people, especially white males. It's usually, you know, other people of color. And the thing is with Barack Obama, he put the spin on that. Because I know for a fact about this, had Gore won in 2008 and he would have had two terms, you think Barack Obama would have been president? In short, Bush has so screwed this country up, even a black guy can win.
Hello?
Yeah, no, I'm here. I'm trying to process it all, Kevin.
And they want to wreck the country even more. So tomorrow, like I said, is do or die. And I'm telling you, I'm giving him 24 hours from now to see whether or not I should have faith. If not, I'm going to have to do my own nuclear option and basically jet while the getting is still good. Smart rat and leave the Titanic first.
Well, I tell you what, forgive me, Kevin, and I'm not gainsaying what you have said.
Yeah.
It's just another damn speech. Speeches we have in abundance.
But
what went down with Van Jones was a hell of a lot louder than any speech.
Well, that's always the case. You know, put it this way. To me, this is African-American office politics 101. Sell your own kind out the river. Push them under the bus.
Why? Because I've seen. Let's put it this way. I've seen Van Jones speak, and I have seen Barack Obama speak. I've met Van Jones, and I've met Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna. This is a metric that is total BS. Okay, Kevin. I've shaken both men's hands.
Yeah.
When you shake Van Jones's hand, you know that you have touched another human being.
Yeah.
Because he grabs your hand in that. And, you know, I was raised in the South, so, you know, as a young man, you're actually taught how to shake hands.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going for a bone-crushing grip or anything, but it's real. It is human contact. It is intimate in its own way.
Yeah.
And I've shaken Van Jones's hand, and you get that good, firm handshake, and I've shaken Barack Obama's hand, and you get the dead fish handshake.
People are different. I kind of suspected that with Barack Obama, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
But I've heard them both speak, you know, in person as well.
Yeah.
And there was a lot more electricity going through the crowd when Van Jones spoke than when Barack Obama spoke. Is it possible, I mean, because you're speaking from a place I can't speak from, nor will I attempt it. Is it possible that Van Jones' strength made Obama look weak?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I can give you a historical reference, classic historical reference. Adam Clayton Powell, Dr. Martin Luther King.
Okay.
Adam Clayton Powell, as great a man as he was, you know, tried to, you know, silence Dr. King, who was getting more of a mainstream, and we do it to ourselves all the time. Divide and conquer.
And it looks like it continues.
Back.
Yep. Well, you know, we will listen to the speech tomorrow. You will, I will, we all will. And I'm hoping there's some substance comes from it, because the Van Jones business, and maybe the reason I'm so upset about it, is that it had, word search, it had totemic qualities, Kevin. It had symbolic qualities that stood for larger things. When I saw Van Jones get thrown under the bus, I realized that quite possibly this whole healthcare debate that we have taken part in for months now has all been what Shakespeare would have called a dumb show.
Okay, yeah, and you're absolutely right. And let me tell you something. You know, this is, again, Black Office Politics 101, and I hope I don't offend anyone. Well, I'm going to offend people. When it comes... ultra uppity black, put him under the bus. The one who's like, you know, I'm really not going to take this shit anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Throw his ass under the bus. Because at the ultimate people want to evolve. They don't want to revolve. And this is why a lot of times we end up shooting ourselves in the foot.
Well, I just wonder where they surrender next.
Okay. And that's where, and that's what it goes down to, you know. And I've seen that.
And see, look, let me just interject for a minute. They're saying that the next target is Cass Sunstein. Sunstein. I'm not sure which. But whether it's Sunstein or Sunstein, let's see. Van Jones, black man. Cass Sunstein, Jewish man. Cass. I think it's a guy. Might be female. But Jewish either way.
Yeah.
And the reason that, how much more obvious does it have to get, Kevin? Glenn Beck went after a black guy, and now he's going to go after someone who's Jewish?
Yeah. The thing is, and again, they make a big deal out of these czars and saying how to dictate. We've survived the 8-year dictatorship under the Bush Reich, who's bent and wiped his behind with the Constitution. You know, and nobody says anything about it. It's like, I like to live one day being white. Just to experience the privilege. I have everything else. I have the right religion and breeding and all that. Having to come from another country. It wasn't segregated. But still, just to know what the privilege is like and the double standard, if there is one. They say there isn't, but I keep on seeing otherwise.
And there is. It's like all forms of privilege. Men don't understand that they have privilege vis-a-vis females.
Oh, yeah. By nature and by man-made.
Well, most of it man-made.
Exactly. Because I tell you, even if it wasn't man-made, women, I'm sorry to say, but it's hard being a woman, I would assume.
Well, you know, this came up in Peter's program a few times. Look at the horrors to which, Cass Sunstein's a guy, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, News Ninja Gene. Look at the horrors to which transgendered males are subjected.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's anti-gay violence out there, but I would say that the transgender violence probably goes up and beyond even anti-gay violence.
Because
it's a man who is giving, who is actively seeking to surrender the artificial privilege that a male superstructure has built around him.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to get shed of it. Never mind the reasons, the legitimacy. I think our pal Kate talked about it one evening. The privilege, and then you get into the white community, and the white community is, you know, once you get into talking about the white community, you're talking about monetary privilege.
Oh yeah.
You know, so there are, it's a really toxic onion.
But
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, even within my own community, I'm considered rather privileged, extremely privileged. Because, believe it or not, experience anger from other black males.
Well, there are comic examples of this, and they both come from Saturday Night Live. I don't know if they're even findable.
Mm-hmm.
But one was the great Eddie Murphy skit in which he masqueraded as a white man.
Oh, yeah.
First he went to the bank for a loan as a black man. And then he went to the bank for a loan, and he got turned down. And he went to the bank as a white man, and the banker said, "Here, you want some free money?"
Oh yeah.
and then what you just referred to is best exemplified by the classic skit of Black Perspective, featuring a debate between Garrett Morris and Andrew Young.
Oh yeah.
Andrew Young at the end makes the argument that, well, everyone knows that light-skinned blacks are smarter than dark-skinned blacks.
Yeah.
And Garrett Morris, it was very dark. What?
Yeah, exactly. And because, and a prime example of it, too, there's been research done amongst convicted black felons that the lighter-skinned blacks get less harsh sentences?
Oh, yeah, and it exists in reality. Look at, it was one of those ICE roundups at a meatpacking plant, perhaps in Utah,
mm-hmm.
a couple of years back, where the Bush administration's ICE men, you know, the immigration thugs,
mm-hmm.
came in, and it was, and bear in mind, it was a union shop, okay? And they rounded up all the light-skinned Mexicans and decided that they were here legally, and rounded up all the dark-skinned Mexicans and declared that they were here illegally, despite the fact that there were dark-skinned Mexicans who had citizenship papers, whose papers were in order, and who had children that were born in this country, and who had union cards.
Oh, yeah.
But a determination was made, and of course, that's a sick and twisted offshoot of the evil of, you know, well, if you look... You know, you're not white or anything, but you're a little closer to white, so we're going to treat you a little better.
Oh, yeah, and so it's like you have to understand a lot of times my life and my struggle is a double-edged sword.
Okay, continue.
You know, where I get resentment on both ends. Well, you know, because of the obvious institutionalized racism between white males who are powerful and non-white males. Non-white males. That constant power struggle. But then I also get the thing between other black males because they feel I've lived this life of extreme privilege, whether it's biological or social, economical, education. You know, where that's presented those problems in itself. All too often, when I was living outside of New York, I experienced probably more bigotry than from by black males than white males.
And yeah, what, trying to pass, are you? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm like, dude, I'm going through the same struggles you are.
The human ability to discriminate.
Well, you see,
is almost unlimited.
Yeah. Well, I've come to the conclusion this is just a male trait. Tribalism and bigotry is a male trait, and it's about controlling women. To a certain degree, and all that, because women, part of the sexual attraction that women have towards men is not necessarily by looks, but by safety. And in today's world, the more money someone has, it's the safer they will be. Money is truly the measure of a man in today's world. It's no longer about physical prowess. Even though I'm 6'4 and weigh 280 pounds, I could probably beat the, you know what, out of most human beings.
Yeah.
Unless they have some kind of physical training or a weapon. So that automatically brings a certain amount of attraction or attention. But it's now more of a thinking process or a thinking process. And the more able you are to collect dollars, which is what we need to feed, clothe, and house ourselves. It's no longer whether I can reach for the highest banana or kill this animal or whatever. You know, that's what women look at. And so now it's more subliminal or whatever, where they're going to try and attack you by other means.
Hey, I gotta just interject something here, because he's always good for a one-liner. Our pal Marty says, for Kevin, the smart rat's the one that didn't get on the Titanic.
That is true, but I couldn't help it.
You're born on the Titanic.
Yeah, if you're born there.
Well, let me share one more thing with you, just to show the sort of inability of folks to figure stuff out. I got a sound clip here. Well, no, we're not gonna play the sound. I'll just read it. This is from TPM, all right, and it's by Rachel come on, is like I said, is there nobody in this country named Smith anymore? Rachel, S-L-A-J-D-A. Slada? Slada?
Slada. Slada.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't even know if it's Spanish or upper left-handed Croatian or
Balkan.
Yeah, but whatever it is, her first name's Rachel.
Yeah.
And she writes as follows. And the headline is Chambliss, Obama better show humility in speech to Congress. Mm-hmm. Now you remember who Saxby Chambliss is, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Saxby's the guy who beat a triple amputee Vietnam veteran, Max Cleland, by running political ads that morphed him into the face of Osama bin Laden.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just reminding folks there. You knew it. Just a reminder. TPM and Rachel reporting, Senator Saxby Chambliss, said today that because of angry town hallers and the like, President Obama should show humility when he speaks to Congress Wednesday night. What you're seeing is folks on my side anxious to see what the president has to say tomorrow night. I think he's going to have to express some humility based on what we've seen around the country this August, and that's not his inclination.
Oh, yeah.
Rachel then adds, the implication here is that Chambliss's side, the one that opposes much of the Democrats' reform plan, especially a public option, is winning and that the president had better be humble. No. Okay, no. Journalism moment, no. The implication here is that Chambliss is telling the black man that he'd best not get too uppity in his speech tomorrow night.
Exactly. And, you know, it is what it is. It's, you know, an old white man basically trying to show that he still runs things to a young, virile black man because of it, you know,
maybe Rachel Slajda doesn't have the background that we have. Maybe she doesn't speak white racist code. Because
she's from the Northeast.
When Chambliss says, I think he's going to have to express some humility based on what we've seen around the country this August, and that's not his inclination. Well, that's not his inclination is code, right-wing, bigoted, the racist code for, and he's a uppity one, that one.
Exactly. But you see, I kind of get that from both sides. So, you know. Like I said, it's the worst thing you can absolutely be in this country, is be too up for a lot of whites and conservative blacks who don't want to see change, real change.
Can't be getting uppity about people dying now.
Well, the thing is, you know what it is? And I've learned one thing about living in your universe, the South, to a certain degree, is you have to know your place. Okay? It's about knowing your place.
Yeah, well, poor white and poor black alike.
Yeah, and the day you decide to move out of your place is the day you're going to have problems. And that was one thing I never was aware of being a Northeasterner in New York, where your place could be anywhere, anytime, anyhow, you know. And I never really got that until, you know, I've come back at time to think through and all. It's about knowing your place. And all too often, I come from an immigrant background. And for immigrants, that place is usually at the bottom, very bottom.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter how much money you make, sooner or later, somebody's going to come around and remind you what that place is.
Exactly. And for me, that's totally unacceptable.
Well, you know, our buddy David in South Carolina writes and asks, hey, Bob, what do you think would have happened if four or five guys of African descent showed up dressed gangsta style, packing sidearms at a Bush rally?
Oh, they would have been buried under the rally.
Oh, they'd be, well, they would have been executed by now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Them and their families.
Golly, man.
It's just what it is. And all too often, and this is why I say, like, even amongst the Eastern Bloc, the former Eastern Bloc of nations in Europe,
mm-hmm.
they are going, in the next 10 years, they're going to surpass the United States because
There's just so many things. You know what nationalized health care represents? Equality for basic human rights. We take care of our sick.
Yeah.
Without
regard to skin color or gender.
Exactly. And this is why Canada, because you have Canadian rednecks, okay? But you don't have...
Oh, take off. Yeah, do not.
Yeah. Or England, as bad as things be with the race problems there, they're not giving up their health care.
Oh, no.
They're not giving up. And England has some very skinheads that you need to lock them under the basement.
Right. But you know what? No. They don't give up no health care.
Exactly. Or, cradle to the grave security. Because that's a way of equalizing people.
Yeah, and they'll stand side by side with somebody that they racially hate.
Yeah.
To make sure that nobody takes that social safety net away.
Exactly. And the corporations are thumbing their nose at us, and people, and that's what I don't get, It's like, you mean to tell me your hatred for me is that intense that you're going to make your own wife and children suffer?
Well, if God didn't want us to, he would have made us born. He would have made us born with the universal health care. I know. Hey, Kevin, I got to roll along, brother, but this has been great.
I'll talk to you soon, man.
All right, later. Bye. Bye now. Calling from Brooklyn, our buddy Kevin. And going right back to the phones, but just a couple from the mailbag. Our buddy David in Tennessee says, I have heard it. He says, the email is slugged, a revelatory moment for me. I have heard it, and I have understood it. So many times when the Dems should have, yes, should push back and call a re-piglick and kettle black as night, they held off. They've done that often in the case of drunken, drug-addicted, and chemically imbalanced right-wing hate speakers because they didn't want Teddy Kennedy thrown back at them. Hell, Teddy taught us the tactic when Clarence Long Duck Dong Thomas needed one up the side of the head, and Ted went sailing instead. By that time, the wingnut hate speak machine was functioning rather well, and all, especially regarding Ted, knew what the note wrapped around the brick was through the window would say, well, yeah, so what, Dems, Teddy killed his date. Was that before or after he screwed her? Hey, Democrat. The youngest of the Kennedy brothers has left the planet. You can now feel safe calling that repig-licking kettle black. Come on now, Democrats, get off the bench, put your ass over your boots, and take some swings. A lot of swings. It's so much safer now. I know exactly what David's talking about. Because it was a generation of Chappaquiddick, 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 Chappaquiddick. Well, that's no more. Can we finally start talking honestly about Larry Craig? About Mark Sanford? Van Jones got called a commie and resigned. Mark Sanford flew to Argentina to bang a girlfriend and won't. Senator Ensign, his parents paid off a mistress. Non-apology apology. But all you have to do is call someone on our side something, whether it's true or not, and we will stand and piss ourselves in fear. Can you imagine? You imagine how many FCC fines I would have racked up by now just for tonight's show alone? That's why we're on the internet. But you know that. From our pal Sophie. Sounds like you finally reached my level of angst. I hit the place you're at today regarding Obama, the Democrats, the whole sissified bunch in early February. What makes me nuts is that it would be so easy to stomp these idiots down. They have nothing for fact. Why isn't anyone on our side mentioning the 45 czar appointments of Junior Bush? I notice a lot of right-wing bloggers list how many czars past presidents have had, from Reagan to Obama, and they seem to jump from Clinton to Obama, missing George's big group completely. Stunning that they would present inaccurate information, isn't it? The school thing last week was the end for me. Yeah. That one got completely out of hand, didn't it? Cindy says, we need to prepare to lose this president and make a big effort for a runner-up candidate who can replace him. Someone who can win over the righties, just in case. If we have the right person in the wings, we can prevail upon the loser to step down and not run and have a new candidate. I don't want somebody that's going to bring the right-wingers into the fold. I don't want the right-wingers into the fold. I want to beat them. I want to see a little fighting back. I want to treat a bully like a bully. Because it's the only way you ever stop them from being bullies. Larry referenced a poem that his wife had written, and he provided it, Steps of Life, by his lovely wife Sandy. The bottom step is lowest of all, the poor and the helpless are made to feel small. The closer you live to cities and towns, the higher you climb, all the time looking down. Some aim for the top step, some for the middle, as long as there's room at the bottom. A little. Just thinking and laughing at the guy who is last, tramp on his fingers if he tries to get past. A helping hand is rarely extended. It doesn't matter if the bloke is offended. As long as you are not at the end, who cares about love and your fellow man? That was the thing. Van Jones actually did seem to care about what went on in America's most vulnerable communities. He actually seemed to care. Him gone now. Him gone. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi. He didn't seem to care enough.
Well, that's the did he jump or was he pushed question, and we simply can't answer that, Susan.
Yeah, okay, but say what you will about William Jefferson Clinton, and there's a lot of things you can say about him. But he wasn't no quitter.
No, he didn't.
He had everybody and their mother after his butt for how many years? The man was frimpin' impeached. He didn't quit.
No, he didn't. I wonder what...
First of all, we got to quit knuckling under.
You know, this, and that's the thing. This wasn't even... I mean, I go far enough back that I remember Burt Lance. You remember Burt Lance?
Yeah.
Jimmy Carter? And there was a media frenzy over Burt Lance, and Burt Lance
the one that ended up in the fountain, didn't he?
He wound up away from the Carter administration. But those were news stories. That was stuff that was running on CBS and in the New York Times, and it was based on some degree of journalism. I'm not saying it was right or it was wrong. But what Glenn Beck did was not journalism.
No.
This is running away from name-calling. That's why this is so upsetting.
And, by the way, I want people looking into Glenn Beck's love life, because I get the feeling that there's a little bit of dirt. How about a whole lot of dirt there?
Yeah, maybe if Larry Flint would put a couple of million bucks bounty on his ass.
And speaking of revisionist history, The Democrats were not the party that elected a bisexual president. That was the Democrats. His name was George W. Bush. Remember his dear old lover who got appointed to the ambassadorship of Poland?
Yeah. Came from what, Knoxville, Chattanooga? Something like that?
I can't remember, but he was a more than a college buddy.
That's not his friend. That's his longtime companion.
Yes. And why, you know, this was allowed to go down the memory hole. Okay, fine. Start shoving it down their throats every time they mention something like this. And every time that Nazi Buchanan opens his jet, shove it down his throat.
Yeah. You know, you're
during World War II. What were you doing during World War II, Pat? You're old enough. Where were you?
I was working in the Ministry of Disinformation. Oh, wait a minute. Your near neighbor, or relatively, as say, you know, compared me to you, your near neighbor Cindy, or nearer neighbor, says, what kind of whining people quit in the middle of the fight? These guys are playing a psycho game on our heads, and we're fools to buy into it. It would be wiser to ignore them and pound the table with our arguments, believing we will win the vote. For God's sake, don't quit now.
And, you know, it's, okay, whether or not we win, as far as the public option and health care, and this is what I told the RNC today. I'm a yellow dog Democrat. I have never, ever voted for Republican in my entire life, and I've been real proud of that. In 2010, if necessary, I will be voting Republican in at least one Senate race, because I will be voting against Senator Ron Wyden. I hope to knock him off in the primary so I can vote Democrat. But if necessary, I'll vote for a
Green Party candidate.
I'll vote for Green. I'll vote for Republican. I'll vote for somebody, anybody other than Ron Wyden. If I have to, I will send money to Republican candidates in Montana who are willing to run against Baucus and Lincoln and all of those blue dogs. And the only thing I can say about the health care bill, the only person in the Congress who has any balls is named Nancy Pelosi, and more power to her. And I am so sick of being stepped on, first by the Republicans and then by my own party, that even if the bill goes down, fine, let it. Guess who's going to pay? It ain't going to be Barney Frank. It's not going to be Congressman Wu in the these liberal Democrats, because they could get reelected. All they got to do is keep breathing. It's going to be the blue dogs who have caused this problem, and good, we're well off without them.
You know, the question is, though, in the upcoming midterms, what do you want to bet the blue dogs are not the ones that face the problems? You got to remember, Rahm Emanuel busted his ass to put blue dogs in and wouldn't lift a finger to help a liberal.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They're going to go down. The liberals are fine, because the only way you can be a liberal and get elected is be in a liberal part of the country. That's why Barney Frank, he's going to be fine. Teddy, bless his heart, if he was still alive, he'd be fine. And I agree with what you said. Teddy is gone. It's time to take gloves off, fellas.
They can't Chappaquiddicus anymore.
No, fine. Let's start digging up. Laura ran her boyfriend down and killed him.
Dimebag Laura, you mean?
Yeah, dear old Dimebag Laura, who was pushing the crap. which nobody ever bothered to mention either.
But, you know, you say let's start digging up the dirt on them.
They've been doing that to us.
I understand that. I understand, and I'm not disagreeing with you. But how much good does digging up the dirt on them do, really? And I don't think I take any pleasure in saying this. What would we have to catch Mark Sanford, the governor of South Carolina, doing that would actually compel his resignation?
Well,
you know, Piyush Jindal, the governor of Florida, actively participated in criminal assaults and called them exorcisms. What would it take?
A live boy or a dead hooker?
But they're there. Diaper Dave Vitter.
He would need a live boy. The hooker problem isn't a problem with him. He'd need a boy.
Larry Craig had the boy.
Yeah, and he ain't running no more, is he?
But he didn't resign.
No, he didn't. And that's another thing. He was caught trolling for sex, and even he wasn't enough of a quitter to resign. But yet Dan Johnson gets called a few names by an acknowledged crazy on television, and he resigns. Van, grow a spine. Politics is a contact sport. If you can't stand it, you shouldn't have gotten into it.
But that's the thing. I mean, was he afraid that there was something really bad out there?
Well, in that case, he should never have gotten into it.
I don't think there was something that bad out there, Susan.
I don't think so. I don't think there was either. I think he just didn't realize that, hey, this can get really nasty. But I learned that the first time I saw my president go down with his head blown off. You don't get nastier than that.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
And that's why somebody has to sit Obama down and tell him just exactly what.
What's what?
What? Yeah, that's the clean version. Or, like you said, he's going to go down as a one-term failure. And that, hey, if he does, that's fine by me. I'm done with him. He has broken every major promise that he has made. Sure, he's done the cosmetic things like the Lily Ledbetter Act and stuff like that. But that's piddly. And that's why it was allowed to go through, because the Republicans know it was piddly.
Yep, still no employee free choice act, still no health care,
yeah.
Still in Afghanistan, still in Iraq, still torturing, still renditioning.
Exactly. The important stuff is still...
Habeas corpus is still a thing of the past.
This is still a dictatorship. Do all to George Bush.
That's like George Will Sunday. David from Tennessee sent me the clip about where he said, you know, it's time to get out of Iraq and Afghanistan. And he made a bunch of... Wow. He and Katrina Vandenhoevel from the Nation were sitting there agreeing with each other. You know, that's one of those things that make you think that, you know, the end times are nigh. But they were both in agreement that it's time to get out of Iraq and out of Afghanistan.
Yeah, and you're sitting...
But the thing is, George Will is a hypocrite, Susan. Yeah, George Will's a hypocrite, Susan. The first thing you have to ask yourself is, if John McGrumpy was the president, would he be saying it? And the automatic answer is no.
Is no. He wouldn't. He's doing it for that reason, exactly. If people don't realize that, they're fools.
Oh, that's entirely possible.
But, you know, it's just anybody who does not understand that everything that the Republicans have done, and I heard a pundit today talking about this speech to the children after it was made. Honest God, he was black, too. I couldn't believe it. He was still bitching, and he was saying, it's a slippery slope. And I'm going, my holy God. I haven't seen an Uncle Tom like that since Thomas hearings. Of course, it is true, it was indoctrination. What you have to do in order to hear the indoctrination in the speech is stand on your head and recite it backwards.
Well,
still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just I'm flummoxed. I'm flabbergasted. I'm, you know, yeah.
I'm just the whole thing is just.
Yeah, Susan, I'm gonna roll along here, but I am glad you called in, and I don't. You know, it's like Cindy there a minute ago saying, "Don't quit." I ain't quitting. I mean, this is not my valedictory.
No, I'm just, it's not mine either. It's everybody, please call your Congress critters and demand to have the antitrust protection, the antitrust exemption stripped from the insurance companies and then have them busted up under the Antitrust Act. And then call Barney Frank, and then call Bernie Sanders as well.
Somebody out there got to have some stomach for this fight.
Because if we can do that, if we can get that moving, the health insurance companies will view that as a whole lot more of a threat than health care.
Yeah, because that's where they live.
Yeah.
Bust them up. Can you say AT&T? Hey, Susan, take care. Have a good night.
You too, and love to Agnes.
All right. Bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.
News Ninja Susan, calling from Oregon. And we're going to take a quick break. Green News Report is on the way. If you don't feel like holding, you can try back in about 7 minutes. Maybe closer to 10. Little break here. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be sort of leave it. I don't know. Rough night. But God, are we supposed to? Are we supposed, as Democrats, now that there's a supposed Democrat in the White House, are we supposed to just eat it and smile? Because I don't do eat it and smile real good at all. I just don't. Your thoughts, as always, are more than welcome. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. 304-658-3333 is the direct dial number. Email comes into Bob Kincaid @gmail.com. Learn it, know it, use it. This is The Horn, America's liberal voice.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Tuesday, September 8, 2009.
The rising cost of fighting fires. JAWS is back. Back to school with swine flu. Plus,
if we have the opportunity to fight both poverty and pollution by putting people to work in these new industries, we would be wise as a country to do that. That is common ground.
An advocate for green jobs loses his own.
And America loses a great public servant. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this is your Green News Report. Okay, it's a very sad week, frankly, for Americans and their opportunities when it comes to green jobs, the environment, poverty. We will get to that in a minute. First, the Green News headlines, Desi Doyen.
The Station Fire, the largest in Los Angeles County history, is, as of today, nearly 60% contained, with full containment expected sometime next week. In the 2 weeks the fire has ravaged the Angeles National Forest, it spread over 250 square miles. 78 homes were destroyed, and two veteran firefighters lost their lives. Arson is suspected, with the state offering a $100,000 reward for information leading to an arrest. California spent over $40 million, that's over 60% of its annual firefighting budget, on several fires around the state in just the first month of the fire season. Federal funds from FEMA will likely offset most of the cost to the state, since the Station Fire is located on federal lands. The frequency of big wildfires is predicted to increase, along with the costs of fighting them, in coming decades as global warming further exacerbates drought, reduces snowpack, and brings on earlier snowmelts that are increasingly drying out the West.
By the way, Desi, I did not notice any of the wingnuts on Fox News complaining about the socialized firefighting that was going on in our socialized national forests out here in California.
That's right. Representative Adam Schiff, who is a Southern California congressional representative, mentioned that there were no complaints at town halls about the socialized firefighting system that is saving people's homes.
How odd.
JAWS is back.
You yell Barracuda. Everybody says, huh? What? You yell shark. We've got a panic on our hands on the 4th of July.
A report of several great white sharks lurking off the coast of Cape Cod has caused quite a stir. The great whites are rare in the frigid waters off the New England coast, but official reaction today shows how much times have changed. Back in the 80s, a big shark hunt might have been launched, like that in the movie Jaws, but instead of killing the animals just for being in the wrong place at the wrong time, officials are treating the event as a rare research opportunity. Great white sharks are an extremely elusive species. Only one great white shark in history has ever been successfully tagged in the Atlantic. Until now. So far, marine biologists have successfully tagged two sharks with satellite tracking devices. The great white shark, like all predators in our oceans, are in steep decline due to human activities. But some things haven't changed, though. Some local businesses and residents were angry that officials closed several Cape Cod beaches to swimmers over the big Labor Day weekend.
Over the big Labor Day weekend, just like the movie Jaws.
That's funny how that works.
Yeah, but this time they actually closed them.
Yes, they did.
Learned their lesson.
In keeping with warnings from the Obama administration for citizens to be aware of a resurgence in this fall of the flu virus H1N1, commonly known as swine flu, now it appears that 2,000 students at Washington State University have contracted the virus in the first week of school, the largest outbreak on any college campus in the nation. The university says that most of the cases are moderate to mild and no students have been hospitalized, but the effort is straining health services on campus. Public health experts are warning hospitals and medical facilities around the country to prepare for a potential crush of cases this fall.
And let me clarify, 2,000 students complaining of swine flu-like symptoms. They don't necessarily have the swine flu at this time.
Yes, officials are treating them as if they do, since many of them have tested positive.
the values that underlie this clean energy conversation, which we don't speak to directly enough, are the common ground values of America.
That was now former special advisor to the White House Council on Environmental Quality, Van Jones, speaking about common ground among all Americans at last month's National Clean Energy Summit in Las Vegas. Jones resigned over the weekend after right-wing media outlets launched a concerted attack led by right-wing TV and talk radio host Glenn Beck. Van Jones is the founder of the nonprofit Green for All, advocating for green jobs training for inner-city kids, and the author of the bestseller The Green Collar Economy, promoting an entrepreneurial approach to a clean energy economy with green jobs that can't be outsourced overseas. Although Jones apologized for his past statements, the attacks may be in retaliation for a boycott recently launched by the nonprofit group Color of Change.
Maybe.
Social justice organization co-founded by Jones, but that he has since left. Color of Change has convinced over 50 major advertisers to drop support of Glenn Beck's show in the last month after Glenn Beck made statements calling President Obama a racist, among other things.
Make no mistake, this is a high-tech lynching, this is political terrorism, this is McCarthyism, this is the Fox News thought police, and it has cost this country, as far as I'm concerned, a great public servant who was fighting for eco-capitalism and putting together some extraordinary ideas with some extraordinary people. It's a shameful moment both for the right wing and for the Obama administration, as far as I'm concerned.
But don't take our word for it. Decide for yourself. Check out our roundup of the analysis on our website at greennews.bradblog.com.
We'll leave you with a couple more words from the now former Green Jobs Advisor, Van Jones. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
This is our opportunity as a country, and it comes along very rarely, to take the people who most need work and connect them to the work that most needs to be done to fight pollution and poverty at the same time and be one country. Let's be one country. Thank you very much.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
A quarter past the hour. Don't hide your light under no bushel, nor your phone call neither. Jump right in. We got some good conversation left in the program, I do believe. And we will test that by going immediately to the phone lines. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Brother Bob. This is Rick Goodner of Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice.
Well, Rick!
How you doing, sir?
Just trying to stay off the ledge, brother.
I've been playing with the nuts. I've been having fun. This has been so cool. We got two major school districts here around me.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them refused to let Mr. Obama's speech plug.
No.
Yeah. And so I called up the superintendent. I said, okay, this is Rick Bittner, Head On Radio Network. I'm a correspondent for them. By the way, I give them your number so you can verify that I really am.
And I absolutely will.
And I said, I set this up immediately. I knew this. Next week I can meet with them any day except Tuesday and Thursday. Oh, gee, Mr. Goodner, but you see, Tuesday and Thursday's already, oh, I'm sorry, he said Tuesday's booked. I said, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and, you know, every day except Tuesday's booked. Okay, I'm going to clear up Tuesday. So I'll meet with you. Oh, my secretary just told me that I can't do that time either. Okay, fine, I'll take Thursday.
God.
I love it. It's beautiful.
It's you know, it's unfair. You're keeping them all for yourself.
Well, I don't know how well it's going because his secretary happened to tell him after that that Thursday's book too. So I said, okay, you got the next board meeting. I want to meet with the whole board, and I want to meet with you. Our listeners want to know why y'all censored the presidential speech to your students. And, oh, we'll get back to you, Mr. Goodner, and let you know if we can get you on the agenda. I said, no, I won't on the agenda. Well, they called me back about 2 hours later. Sorry, their agenda's real full. They can't get me there. Nope. I'm going to show up anyway.
Yeah, and then when there's nobody on the agenda. Bust them. Bust them.
They're just too damn dumb. It's so much fun. God, I love this. And anybody out there who happens to have an iPod or anything that records, even a telephone, if you want to do that to your school district, please, I need the tape. I want their answers. You know, and one thing that really got one superintendent really bad was I said, and I didn't know for sure, I said, you played Reagan's televised speech to the students when he did. But yeah. We had warning then. I said, oh, so not enough warning, okay. And George Herbert Walker Bush, you did his when he was president. Well, we had warning.
Warning.
I said, okay, so what it looks like here is if you're a black president, you don't get to speak to the students. Oh, no, we didn't know that. I'm sorry, sir, but I'm having too much fun.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last comment. I think your hood got in the way.
Oh, that's good. I wish I remembered that one. But anyway, that's been kind of fun. I am kind of despondent about tomorrow because we're going to get sold down the river again. But
but we keep getting sold. Aren't we out of river yet, Rick?
Sir, nothing that he was elected for has been done. I got a lot of emails from people saying that they didn't get the last hour of my show. I think we had some technical difficulties or something. So for this week, if you don't mind, I'm going to go ahead and make the first hour new, and then the second hour just go ahead. And
yeah, I mean we had both hours lit up. But then again, there have been Verizon trucks within 500 feet of our dwelling. So anytime there's a Verizon truck in sight, it generally means something will go sideways while I'm not looking.
Yeah, well, supposedly. My first hour ran twice. That's the last email I got. So I don't know. If any of you people heard both hours, please let me know, and I won't put you through the agony of listening to it twice.
Oh, no. We'll put them through. We'll put them through.
So anyway, I just want to let you know that I'm still having fun and still disgusted at all the promises that were broken.
Yeah, and the sissified wimping weenieing out over Van Jones is just it's like insult on injury.
I was on Facebook and I had people at 3 and 4 in the morning crying, talking to me.
Because that's when they did it. That's when they announced it.
They did it. Yeah. And so I was over there trying to smooth things out, trying to make everybody understand that stuff I didn't believe myself, but at least got things calmed down. But this is sick. I know I was kind of rough last week when I said, to do a man's job. I think we said the wrong person, but to wimp out like that.
Yes, but well,
reprehensible.
It is reprehensible, Rick, and when I think about the $5 donations and the $15 donations and the people who really did go door to door and got doors slammed in their faces, and I'm not going to vote for no Muslim, and the indignities to which his supporters were subjected, threats of violence, actual violence. Here where I live, I'm not even allowed to, I wasn't allowed, God knows I didn't put it back, but I wasn't allowed to have an Obama-Biden sticker on my truck, Rick. It got torn off.
I had 3 torn off, but that's okay. I went to the Democratic Committee, and I picked up a handful. Of course, you have to pay 15 cents for them, but that's worth it. I kept them on there, and I still had them on there, and I still get them ripped off, even till today. But then I'm in the middle of racist America.
Well, where can you be in America that you're not in the middle of racist America, Rick? I think that's
Canada.
I think you just answered my question.
Oh, God, love you guys. Yeah, every one of you people from the Horn out there, you're wonderful. You keep at it. You're kicking ass. I'm getting angry. I'm doing as much slamming as I can. I think they're probably going to cart me away before long because I'm probably getting a little bit too...
cranky?
Yeah. Too cranky, that's right. My daughter says she can't listen to me anymore because I always yell and it scares her. It reminds me of when she was dead and she was in trouble.
I finally got over it, Daddy, and now it's back.
It's back. Anyway, I didn't want to keep you from any of your important stuff. I just want to let you know that...
This is the important stuff. What are you talking about?
It's so much fun playing with the dummies. But they really go through this, and I think, well, we're doing a good thing. Everybody here in America thinks the way we do. And then when you start saying, I got a news thing here, and we want to report on what you did, it's like, well, wait a second, I'm going to be held accountable? Any of you guys out there who can get to your school board, who can get to the superintendent that didn't say it, I would love to get clips, sound clips. I'd love to do a whole show on it, please. Sorry for butting in on that.
Well, I have to. I haven't had a chance to talk with my kids today and find out if the speech was run.
Well, one point I did talk to one guy who was, that was the third school district, much smaller one, and he gave me his excuses. He just said, they will kill us. I will not have a next term. I said, okay, fine.
Hey, you know, you can't really take issue with a guy for being honest.
Yeah. And that's the reason I didn't even mention the third one I talked to. And then another one just says, well, it was just did not have time. We couldn't do it. It wasn't built in. I said, fine, go to C-SPAN, download it, and play it at a convenient time. But I anticipated it. You're going to hate me for this, Bob, because I did a horrible thing. Through the Democratic Party here, I got contact with an awful lot of the school kids who are Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And like one told me today, he says, you know, we're all Democrats, all of us. We just don't understand the crazy grown-ups and their stuff. And so I let it slip to one person who's very active. You know, if I was going to be refused a chance to hear Obama's speech, I would stay home and I would watch it and I would have a party of it with other people who want to hear it. And then defy them not to give me credit for that day. And they did.
Did they really?
They did. Big parties. See? Things can be done.
That's beautiful. Because that was suggested either, I think it was Friday night, Kid A, otherwise known as Michael, our buddy, suggested exactly that.
Really?
Yeah. See, great minds think alike.
See, on Fridays, I'm usually doing the show. I don't get the
right, idea. Right. I know. That's why I said it. That's why I said it was on
a football.
Yeah, because I was at a football game on Thursday, so it had to be Friday.
There you go. Well, anyway, that's it. I'm just still having fun with the crazies, and it's really strange when you start saying, okay, how about some responsibility here? They can act as dumb as they want. They can do the most atrocious things to the kids until you say, oh, you're being watched. And it's national. And if you're not careful, you might end up on Keith Olbermann. Of course, I don't say that. But that's what they think. The worst person in America.
That would considering the school districts that didn't run it, that would probably take a while just to list.
Oh, would indeed. Would indeed.
Well, but you know, take heart. That there is no one area, Rick, has a monopoly on stupid. And... And as I noted earlier this evening, I'm hanging on to that, to what Sue said. You can't fix stupid.
No, it cannot be fixed.
A new Research 2000 poll was performed in Kentucky. You know, just not too far south and west of here, or just south of here.
Mm-hmm.
And in Kentucky, Only 51% of Kentuckians think Barack Obama was born in the United States. A full 20%, you know, that 20% keeps showing up, Rick. 20% think Bush was a good president. 20%.
Yeah. Oh.
20% said they think he was born somewhere else, and 29% said, well, I ain't sure.
Well, you see, it's because they don't realize that Hawaii's a part of America. And what did that beauty pageant crazy girl say? It's because we don't have maps?
Yeah, we don't have maps, and the Iraq? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it goes deeper than that, because that 20%, they think he's Kenyan.
Kenyan.
But here's the fun part. Of everybody surveyed, 94% of black respondents said they think he was born in the U.S., but only 45% of the white folks were certain that he was born here.
And that's because white folks don't believe black folks are American.
I think that undergirds a lot of it. Here's how the Lexington Herald Leader reported it. Investigations by numerous media outlets, including the Pulitzer Prize-winning PolitiFact service of the St. Petersburg Times, have determined that Obama was born in Hawaii. But see, that's a BS response too, Rick, because what the real answer is, and I think you'll agree with me, is to say, and the people who think he wasn't born here are morons.
Yeah.
Or maybe...
Or racist.
Maybe morons is too complicated. The people who think he wasn't born here are stupid.
Stupid's such a wonderful word. I got so much heat when I first started on the radio program by saying people are stupid. It's so nice.
The word exists for a reason.
That is exactly right. And words, every single word has its place. I honestly believe that. That's just why I fought for 2 weeks on whether or not to use the phrase I was going to use that I used on the show this weekend. Because I kept thinking, no, it's going to offend. No, but then I went, but there's no other word. He's just not man enough for the job. And so I bit the bullet, and I was waiting for all the nasty emails.
But at this point, I think you're not going to get a lot of pushback out of that.
I didn't. Kind of surprised me. And I really did. I agonized over it for 2 weeks. And I wasn't going to let you know because I didn't want you to take responsibility if I got my head chopped off. But, you know, it's like George Bush was not man enough for the job he was doing. He just wasn't. So I did that. Anyway, sir, everything's wonderful here. I hope everything's okay there. Haven't got anything big going except for the school district. All asking for your phone number. They want to verify that I'm really from this place.
You tell them. We're right here.
And they are scared.
Good.
It's nice to see people get nervous.
I like a little pants wet and fear in the and they deserve to be. You know, our buddy David in South Carolina said in an email this evening, he said that the Obama administration should never have let this crap about permission slips manifest itself. That's when they won on a psychological level. He went on to say, David did, it's okay to say that President Obama is a Muslim, Kenyan, and a terrorist, and that health care reform is a conspiracy designed to kill old folks. People who repeat these lies don't resign, don't apologize, and continue to be given airtime on all forms of media. Guess you can go as far out as you want to the right and still be considered normal.
Right. Well, it's time to do some kicking. And if we don't, I don't know. I'm at the point now where I've given up, and I'm thinking and I'm talking to other people. Who do we need to nominate for the primary against Obama this time? I believe that nothing is going to improve. There will be, tomorrow there will be a trigger mechanism that'll kick in something that'll never happen.
Right.
There will be
It's a trigger with a firing pin pulled.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we'll have the, either that or we'll have the co-op, which they will co-op.
Right. And, you know, our buddy Richard out in, out in California has already, you know, taken the starch out of the co-op.
Missed that one, too.
Well, no, just that it'll get absorbed. You know, they had a co-op out there. It got absorbed by a health insurance company that went bust.
Well, would you like to hear of a big one? Ever hear of Blue Cross? Blue Cross was a co-op.
Sure.
It got absorbed.
Yeah, and you know, they're all the Blues were listed as not-for-profit.
Yep. So that's what we're up against, and he's going to cave on us again tomorrow. So I think at this point it is important to start finding a couple of new candidates. If we don't, he will be elected again.
No, see, I don't think he will be, Rick. That's where you and I part company. I think we're seeing the manifestations of a one-term president.
Well, that's possible. I've thought of that, too. But then, you know, I'm sitting here going, my God.
Huckabee, Palin, Jindal, Bush Jindal, Bush Huckabee, Bush Palin.
So let's get somebody in there, because we're not going to get health care. Let's get somebody in there that says, you're guaranteed health care. You will get it this time. Let's get somebody up there that the Republicans can't fight against. And, you know, you cannot keep on giving in and giving in and giving in and think that you're not going to have to give in anymore. You know, this land is yours as long as the grass grows and the rain rains and the wind blows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard a little bit about that.
Yeah, that stuff doesn't work. Anyway, I'll still be as angry next week, probably.
Well, you know what? I don't think, not that I'm a trained mental health professional or anything, but I don't think there's a problem with that.
Yeah, it's a good outlet. I don't know, sir. I hope I am wrong tomorrow. I won't be. It'll be a co-op or it'll be the trigger mechanism. Either way, it will not be health care reform.
Either way, what we get is...
shafted.
Screwed.
Yeah, absolutely. And the insurance companies can't afford it. And what I mentioned on the show last week was very simple. Maybe we need to let everything fall apart. The insurance companies will lose their people who are paying them money because no one will be working. They won't have the money to fight it. It took the Great Depression to get Social Security. It took a headstrong head beater like Johnson to force people to go for Medicare. Now, you cannot control these people. You cannot be friendly with them. You cannot reason.
They have to be beaten, and they have to be beaten into submission.
And if you don't beat them into submission, you are submitted to them for the rest. I misphrased that, but you know what I mean. You are under their foot from now on. Time for that to stop.
You're a good Southern boy. I'm a good Southern boy. We understand what you do when the bully comes up and throws a punch.
Well, you make sure you hit harder, and you make sure you hit faster, and you make sure you hit last.
And you keep hitting until he can't hit no more.
And after that's over with, he's a real nice guy. What it takes. I never got bullied in school.
Never got a chance to.
Yeah, I thought I was crazy. So anyway, we will see what happens tomorrow. I love your show tonight. It's actually kind of calm this evening. I'm listening to everything. Great people, great thoughts. I envy your ability to have a one-on-one with these people. It is really...
You'll have to try it sometime.
Yeah, well, I've tried it there for a while, and it was magnificent, but I couldn't do that in the Saturday show, too. So maybe we'll figure out some way. I wouldn't mind doing a pre-recorded call-in if that's possible, but I haven't figured out the tech on that.
No, I can get you through that real easy.
Yeah, I'm not too proud on that one.
It can be done. NPR does tons of it.
Everything is good here. We will take our lumps tomorrow, but then that will give us direction on what we need to do for 2012.
Here, here.
Tomorrow finishes it.
We'll know. I think you're right. Rick, take care, brother.
You too, sir.
You made my night.
You always make mine. That's why I listen to you.
Take care.
I'm your favorite. favorite hero. I mean, your favorite.
You are my favorite hero.
No, you're my favorite hero. I listen to you as often as I can. God, I said that wrong.
Later, Rick. Bye. Horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner calling from the wilds of Central Texas, where he's keeping all the weirdos to himself, and I'm jealous. Okay, I got to figure out how we're going to do this in 23 minutes. Five phone lines, 23 minutes. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's up, Bob?
Hey, what's happening, Gary?
You don't recognize my number anymore?
No, I don't have caller ID here.
You don't have caller ID? Oh, my voice then.
Yeah.
So how you doing?
Trying to get through these 3 hours, you know, it's just I hate watching people wimp out on me, especially people that we bust our butts for.
We'll see what's going to happen. I'm just a little concerned. I think that you know, we got time left in the game, and it seems like some people are throwing in the towel, and that's my only
yeah. But it seems like the people throwing in the, I'm not throwing in the towel. We've been sitting here every night fighting our rear ends off. And it's the administration throwing in the towel. All they did was call Van Jones a name. And he folded his tents and ran. And, well, you know, I don't know if he ran or if he was pushed. That we don't know, but we know he ain't there anymore.
Let me just quickly, I know you got a lot of calls. Let me break this down to you. This is what I perceive is going on. And this is clearly what's going on. We got a problem with our media right now. It's really bad because they're paranoid because they see what happens to their sisters, like the newspaper businesses. So they're always trying to stay relevant and get an eyeball. So they take these little stories and they bring them up, you know, and then, you know, it keeps the distraction going on. And it's hard to even get any kind of footing on anything, any kind of directive or initiative anywhere because you get all these sideshows going on. And a good example of that is, not the Van Jones situation, but some of the other stuff that has come up just with the town hall meetings and some of the other stuff. I mean, Chris Matthews had the guy on at the town hall who showed up with a gun. And I'm thinking to myself, that is irresponsible of MSNBC to put a person like that even on a TV show. I mean, you know, it's like they're just chasing so much sensationalism that I think what's happening with the Obama administration, I think maybe it's a PR thing, that they are just so adverse to any kind of controversy that they try to stay away from it. You know, after, you know, you look, and I think that's a lot. I think that's a lot to do with the Van Jones situation, because he said, I didn't want to become a distraction. He didn't say anything. You know what I'm saying? He didn't say anything. And the ingredient principles, we didn't like what they did. He said, didn't want to become a distraction. I think that's what we have to look at. It. That's what happened in that situation.
And I understand that, Gary. I understand, but wait just a minute.
This is about healthcare, Bob, right now. This is not about talking about Van Jones for the next 6 weeks. I understand.
But what I'm getting...
No. Listen to me on this. This is serious. This is about healthcare right now. We got to start talking about healthcare. We can't let the media get caught up in talking about Van Jones and some of the crap or a Jeremiah moment right now, Bob. We can't do that. I understand. I respect everybody what they're saying.
But do they not understand, Gary, that they're going to do that one way or the other?
Yeah, but I'm saying that you have to pick which ones you stand on. And I don't think Van Jones, being that he's African-American, and I'm African-American, I'm telling you this, that you, with the Glenn Becks and the right, and you see the racism out there in these town halls or whatever, you have to look at it from that perspective, because that's regardless of what we want to look at, that's the perspective. That thing could go on and on and on and on. Trust me, they could drag that thing out, because they're feeding into the racism right now. You see it at these town halls. They're trying to neutralize that stuff so they can get back focused on health care. Van Jones more than likely had to go. We don't know what else is out there. Now, I mean, that's my perspective. I could be wrong.
No, I understand completely that last part. That last part of it, I understand that we don't know what was out there. But you know what? That's a question you ask before you give the guy the job. All right. Secondly, the way that you move on and don't let it distract is to hit the sucker in the face. Because otherwise, bullies don't stop bullying. If everything that I'm reading is correct, they went after the black guy, now they're going to go after the Jew.
Yeah, of course.
Okay? And this is not ceasing the distraction. Because there's always going to be somebody in the administration they hate, because they hate the administration, Gary.
Yeah, I understand that.
You've got to stay, you know, you're the president of the United States, you stand up in the, and you use that bully pulpit, and you hit back.
You know, I remember back in, what was it, early February when he gave that really, really tough speech. And, you know, liberals and progressives and the people who had supported him were like, yeah, yeah. And within 2 days, the apologizing started. Oh, he sounded like he was angry. I'm sorry, I didn't mean so angry.
Well, I can go on. I can look at the sergeant, you know, was Foley or whatever that situation was. That thing blew up. He had to come out and somewhat apologize. This is the thing I was going to mention the other night, because this is the problem with race in America. A white man always gets the pass. You know it, Bob. I mean, for example, prior to this whole thing with Obama, what were we talking about before that? We were talking about Nancy Pelosi and Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney is a white man who committed crimes, you know, war crimes.
Yeah.
But the media was focused on the white woman who had said something about the CIA. She was the issue, not, and that she, you know, she should get an apology and all the problems, because the white man was getting a pass. George Bush, a white man, got a pass. The reason why black people, I don't care what any black person tell me, tell you the real reason why black people always said that Bill Clinton was the first black president, because black people looked up and said, oh, shit, here's a white man who ain't getting a pass. And that's why we always call him, you know, our first black president. Barack Obama is not going to ever get any passes. Now, maybe he thought he was going to get a pass because, you know, he's half white or whatever. He's not going to get any pass. They're going to just continue, like you said, to do what they want to do. But my point being is this, is that in that, he has to take his punches very delicately. He can't come out and just start wailing away, because he actually can become weaker if he gets labeled as, a you know, this angry black man. Now, that is not a problem with him. That's a problem with the society whole, the white people whole, who have a problem with a black man. I mean, you see these town halls. How is that Obama's fault?
I'm not saying that it is. I'm not saying that it is.
I know it's not saying this, but when people say, well, the administration should this and do that, what I'm saying to you, I'm saying that they are picking and choosing their times. That's what I see. I saw it in the campaign. You know, it's the same thing with health care right now. Everybody's talking about health care. Well, there's no bill yet. I mean, okay, yeah, we're going through the motions, but this thing in August, there's no bill yet. I mean, so why are we saying, well, we're going to bill? He said that he is down for the public option. He said over and over and over. I know he kind of waffled a little bit at the end when people were trying to whatever. But
and then Rahm Emanuel says something different, and his Health and Human Services Secretary says something different.
Yep, they all throw these little things out. But here's the thing I'm going to say to you is this. Why are the white people in the Democratic Party? I'm going to break it as black and white. Why are the white men in the Democratic Party, who really are the ones, Nelson and all these other guys, why are they getting the pass? Why are not people? Why everybody focus so much on Obama and not focusing on the eight Democrats?
Well, I can say in all honesty, Gary, I've given Ben Nelson no pass. I've worn out him. I've worn out Blanche Lincoln. I've worn out David Pryor, Mary Landrieu, and they're all plenty white. And you know, now if you're talking about the wider the for-profit media, the answer's fairly easy, because they don't. They have been conditioned not to criticize those beloved blue dogs, because the beloved blue dogs have created this false impression that they are somehow centrist and that they are moderate and they're not some sort of wild-eyed Molotov cocktail-throwing the commies.
Those blue dogs got elected because of a surge of voters from Obama's presidency and Howard Dean's advocacy for the 50-state strategy. That's how they got elected. And Emanuel came in there and kick, you know, Howard Dean out. You know, I work at the DNC, so I know what happened there. And pretty much pushed out. But, you know, that's really what went down.
But remember in the House
not of, helping anybody, right?
In the House of Representatives, when he was there, Rahm Emanuel worked day and night to get those blue dogs elected into the House, and he worked actively against people who were deemed to be more liberal. Gary, the record is replete of those with those people.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm
And the blue dogs. The blue dogs were by definition people who would vote sort of Republican light, so that Democrats could feel comfortable with them, and that they couldn't be blistered as some sort of liberal. And now they are. You know, I'm at least not surprised by the blue dogs' behavior, because there's nothing to be surprised by.
You see, the problem with Barack Obama is that, being a black man, it's hard for him to go hardcore to the left, because he has to appeal to a broader segment of white people. Any black person will tell you, the first thing black people always have to do is make white people feel comfortable. Fair or not, that's what you have to do. If you, I learned this when I was working in corporate America. You have to make white people feel comfortable. That means you have to be seen by them a lot. You know, you notice that Barack tries to go out and see, he wants to talk to kids or whatever. They feel comfortable with him because Barack needs a broader consensus to govern. He can't govern like maybe a George Bush or somebody else.
And you'll notice that the children aren't the ones who are uncomfortable with him. You know, I've got a photo here from CNN of a protest that was launched by some, well, the kids in the photos are white. And they're saying, let's see, what's this picture say? Real, I can find it real quick. Why censor any president's education message? And every child in this photograph is white, 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 white. You know, sure, there's going to be some vestigial racism in any generation, and it may take 1,000 years if the United States is still around to finally cleanse this country of that filth. But, you know, it's not the young people that are out there. No, it's entrenched old, generational racism, that's two generations beyond these high school kids. And those, you know, the kids wanted to hear the speech. It was stodgy old white guy school superintendents who were, well, you know, it may pervert the youth. And so I understand what you're saying about that, but by the same token, black or white, he is still the president, and he does have the right to push back.
Well, he has the right to push back, but I guess my point is, Bob, how much is it, why is everything always on the president? I mean, even with George Bush, I always said, George Bush was not just the only problem. You had people in banks doing things that are wrong.
And you had Rumsfeld, and you had Cheney, and you had, sure.
Exactly. Well, I'm saying, but you can broaden out even further than that to the corporations and all the stuff they do. Like you said, you got, you know, the coal problem out there in West Virginia. I mean, you got a lot of corporations.
And corporate America.
We keep focused on one person, it seems like.
You know, corporate America was a big part of this Van Jones business. Americans for Prosperity, the same bunch of thugs that helped create the town halls and the teabaggers and so forth, was behind the Van Jones attack.
When you start by talking about Indians and then you start getting into reparations, you got a problem with Monsanto's and all these other companies because, you know, you can't. So I can understand where you're coming from with that. They are pretty much combing the mind shafts of any person, any administration that talk about indigenous people and the rights of their lands and all that kind of stuff. So that's something. And I know I kind of disagree sometimes with people say that Barack Obama is not a liberal. I think he is, but I think he governs. Well, I mean, I've read some of his writings. I think he does think more liberal, but I think what he tries to do is just he takes in the ideas of the others and will include them in compromise to some degree. But I think if he had a pure, I honestly believe that if he could do it himself, he would do single payer. I don't believe he believes that, but I think he just knows that there's just too many crooks. I mean, there's just so much stuff going on in Washington that people don't realize it's just not him. I mean, he has to deal with like eight other just media agencies. And other people that you got to get to move. And with me and Bob, it's like I hear people on the left, I'm not just frustrated because it's like we've been in Afghanistan for like 30 years now. We got ex-CIA people in there. He just can't walk in there 8 months and just remove troops. It ain't going to happen. I don't care who the president is. You know, I mean, okay, you can set a timetable, you can do all that kind of stuff. But
I do need to roll along just because I got six stacked up. But just where Afghanistan's concerned, Gary, let me just say this. It's not just that we're still there and it's not over and we don't have a plan for getting out. It's that there are talks about sending more troops to do something that we don't know what the more troops are going to do. You know,
that they didn't surge.
And I didn't agree with the surge in Iraq and
it didn't pull out.
And it didn't.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that's what the strategy is. That's what I'm telling you what the strategy is. That's what they plan to do. They're not going to stay there much longer, so we can't pay for Afghanistan much longer. I mean, that's the thing people not reading it. They're saying, well, you know, all this other stuff, George will. They're basically starting to start.
But the thing is, black, white, and everything in between, there's a whole lot of people that busted their humps for Barack Obama for specific reasons based on specific representations.
Yeah, I agree with you. But he never said, now, one thing I will say this, and you know, like I said, I don't agree with Afghanistan either, but he always said the war was in Afghanistan. So if anybody can sit here and say, well, he's turning his back. No. He never said, he always said the war was in Pakistan, Afghanistan. That's what we should have been focused on. He said Iraq was a mistake. So I think if we start getting into this thing where he says he's going to pull troops out of Afghanistan, you didn't really watch his speeches.
No, he said George Bush did it wrong. All right, Gary, thank you so much. I got to roll along here, but we'll extend this through the week maybe, I hope. All right. Take care. Goodbye. Okay, let's, One, two, three, four, five. If you guys are all there, I'll try to keep this going. It's one of the few times that I've called extra innings, but we will do that. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Bob.
Hi, who have I got?
It's Ange.
Oh, hey, Ange, how are you?
Hey, like an angel. I haven't called in for a long time because I've been, I know I don't have long. There's only 8 minutes left. I have so much to say, but all I have to say is, you know, I live in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Right.
I feel smothered by these patsies that are believing all this crap with the anti-health thing, the, you know, the labor.
Right. Employee-free choice, yeah.
Employee-free choice. And I was watching the local news a couple weeks ago, and there was a poll in Arkansas, and more people in Arkansas would rather have Rush Limbaugh as president than Obama.
I sympathize, because there's some of that here in West Virginia. It's, yeah.
I feel like I'm being surrounded by idiots. And even when you tell them the truth and give them the facts, they don't believe it. I'm at the point now where, I don't, you know, to sound like some of your other callers, they say they've given up, you know, on it. It's not the fact that I give up, but I don't know what else to do.
I don't either.
When these people are believing the lies and not even, the, you know, just like that Rachel Maddow thing. It was August 5th or August 6th when she was the fake anti-reform movement that's going around the country, and she gives all the facts. It's a 10-minute little flick, and they're being willfully blind, and they're patsies for all these billionaires and millionaires that are making money off this stuff. These people don't even care, and I think it should be against the law to do that. And I can't figure out where this country is going to other than that movie, Idiocracy. I've loaned that movie out to friends, and they give it back, and they're like, I don't get it. I didn't think it was funny. And I'm convinced that they're one of the idiots.
It's a test of sorts. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I'm not the smartest person in the world, and I'm not well-spoken like you are, or other callers, you know, like Albert. And, okay, you know, the guy that called in that said that all women want money, he calls in all the time, and he calls in on Guy James. What's his name? He called in earlier.
Oh, David from Maine?
David. No, not David. He's saying that all girls want money. It's not, you know, the survival of the fittest. It's how much money you have.
Oh, Kevin.
Guy James.
Kevin.
Kevin, that's the name. Yeah, and you know what? Not all women want money. I've never been married. I don't have kids. I take care of myself. You know what? I just want someone like me. I'm not rich. I want someone with the same principles, the same values. I don't care about money. As long as you're not a lazy bum trying to mooch off me. There's a lot of women out there that don't care about money. They just want someone, you know, that stands up for themselves.
A traveling companion on the road of life.
Because, you know, there's a lot of men out there now. I mean, you know, me being older, people say I look a lot younger, but I get these young guys that kind of want to mooch off me to be supported and be taken. You know, it's all free now. There's men out there that want money. There's women out there that want money. And, you know, sometimes...
Laziness knows no gender boundary, Ange.
It doesn't. You know? And, you know, if you're not the most beautiful thing in the world, you're like, you know, America's top model, a lot of guys won't have anything to do with you. They don't care.
Well,
they'd rather have a girl that mooches off them, that looks good, than a woman that can take care of herself, don't want anything from them. You know? It's so complicated. It's so complicated. But the world is screwed. And it starts with, you know, your values as a young child. And if, you know, you were teaching these kids to be this way, we're all screwed. You know?
Yep.
And it's really sad. And I'm very, and I read that Guy James thing. Is Guy James going to go off the air?
He may. That's something I'd hope to get to tonight.
Oh my God!
It's what he's facing.
I love you and Guy James. You're my favorite.
Guy James has become like a brother. I mean, I'm not blowing smoke. Guy James has become like a brother to me. I think of him in that sense. And I saw the blog post that went up, and I know I've had a couple of conversations with Guy. I know what he's going through.
I know what he's going through too, because
and frankly,
laugh down every day.
Yeah, and the you know, and you know, I don't know. Maybe people think that because I do the pitch the way I do, that you know, well, here's the part where Bob does the stupid pitch. This is not a joke. The whole organization is hanging on by a thread.
Why can't? Okay, has anybody ever tried to write to like these famous? You know,
letters have been written. Oh my God, Ange, letters have been written.
You know, they won't do anything.
No, they won't do anything. I've been copied in on these letters. You know, people have sent them to me to say, you know, Bob, this is what we did.
They're trying to, you know, these people have tons of freaking money. You think they'd want, because there is no other news source.
But remember, Ange,
there's no other news source like you.
No, there isn't. There's not, Ange. But remember, people who have that kind of money think that in return for that kind of money, they get to control the message. And I absolutely, you know, it's you know, you can't sell the message. I mean, that's why the for-profit media is the way the for-profit media is, because the people who give the money think they own the message. You know, right or left, you know, make a list of the people who advertise on Countdown with Keith Olbermann, and I'm not gooning on Keith. Or make a list of the people who advertise on Rachel Maddow and see if any of those companies are ever criticized on either of those programs. Because the answer is they will not be, no matter what they do.
It's just pathetic that the people here cannot get the real truth. It just has to do with money and what people want, and people with money want. It's not right. It makes me sick, and it's just showing me how the devaluation of America has become. They don't care about what really happens in America. They just want money.
Well, just yeah, but
it's disgusting. It makes me sick.
It's not just money they want. It's power and control. The message really matters.
It, you know, and this thing about, you know, the Glenn Beck, don't congratulate me for Van Jones' resignation.
Right, but that was all backhanded because he was crowing about what he did to Van Jones.
He's an asshole.
There's that word again. He certainly is.
I'm sorry, and I know people that worship him. I don't, I'm not friends with them, but it's just, and it's like these people are that dumb. I can't figure it out, and I don't know. It's just bizarre. It's like I'm in Bizarro World, and Idiocracy will come.
Well, we all are to one degree or another. We all are, Ange, if that's any comfort. But the fact of the matter is,
no.
I mean, we all live in Bizarro World, but there are those of us who live in pockets that are more bizarre than others. And you're in Arkansas, and I'm in West Virginia, and a lot of our listeners are in the Deep South, and they're going, oh, yeah, apparently I live a block from Ange and Bob.
And it's pathetic.
You know, 45% of white people in Kentucky. Only, well, let's do it. 55% of white people in Kentucky think that Barack Obama was not born in the United States.
Oh, I work with those people. I work with those people, and you and I can tell you stories. It is
I know.
Scary.
I know. And
I'm basically, the hairs are standing up on my arms right now. I'm getting the chills just because that's how it makes me feel.
I know.
I'm scared.
You have a right to be. These idiots run around with guns.
You know, what can you do? I'm not really.
What
I have.
I go to the grocery, I go to the grocery store. There are idiots with guns in the bread aisle. Because what? Because Osama bin Laden's going to want a loaf of Sunbeam?
I know. And, you know, when the caller before was talking about how the Republicans attack and attack and attack, and then the Democrats don't defend themselves or attack too, it's like, I don't think they're even given a chance on the media because they don't want to show that.
Well, no, remember, Van Jones had to go because he said Republicans are assholes.
They are. And you know
now,
what?
Dick Cheney can tell Pat Leahy on the floor of the United States Senate to go F himself, but Van Jones can't say that Republicans are assholes.
Yeah, that's pathetic. And you know what? I don't have cable. I've never played for cable since the 90s. I just have the free digital little box thing. And I have, and before I had antenna, I never heard anything on any of the news stations about Van Jones here, ever. Ever. It's like, when I mention his name here, people don't even know who he is. They don't.
But the weirdos in Arkansas do know, and they are crowing about it because they think they just made Barack Obama blink, Ange.
Yeah, he needs to stand up and do something. He needs to prove that he just needs to do something because this is pathetic. It's pathetic. I don't, you know me, I don't have a lot of words. You're the words.
I got all the work. But no, that's plenty good word, Ange. That's plenty good word, because you know what? It is. It's pathetic.
And, you know, even though I don't have any kids, I do have, you know, a niece and a nephew. And you know, and I have friends that have little kids, and I love them to death. And it's the future of all humanity. And why are these people being the pathways for these evil MF, you know, and that do they not care? They just believe everything on Fox News. It's pathetic. It's disgraceful.
Well, they're trying to take their country back. And hey, Angie, I do.
Did George Carlin survive? Did you guys write to him? I think that George Carlin would do something. All right.
Well, all we can do is hang in and hope that somebody does. But, Ange, good talking to you. I've missed you, and I've wondered about you. I haven't seen you in the chat room or anything, but I'm glad to know you're okay.
I'll call back when I have more time because I have stories.
Oh, do please. Preston did mention that he had heard from you, so we knew that you were still striding about the planet. So.
Yeah, I survived. But I love all of you guys. I love all of you.
And it all comes back at you.
I don't know what I'd do without you. All right. Good night.
Take care, Ange. Bye now.
Okay.
From behind the lines in Arkansas. And we're awfully glad to hear from her. Her buddy, Ange. And I'm going to keep rolling. Okay? Not there. Well, I'm not going to keep rolling. So we went 6 minutes over. So shoot me. Don't. That's the show for this evening. I do have to address, before we go, because I got a lot of email about it, Guy's heartfelt posting. He's not bluffing. It's real. he is facing the end of his show. He is working for all he can do to keep it going. But he is getting worked and worked and worked. And there's basically very little support for, not very little, that's unfair, but not enough support for what he does. And one of the things that we have not done very well is figure out how we can, of the money that we do raise, we can make sure that everybody gets a piece of the pie. Because as I've told you time and time again, what happens is that we keep the infrastructure of the horn going here, and when there's a monthly shortfall, like there always is, we make it up out of our own pockets. Well, we're running out of pockets, and Guy's out of pockets. We're not going away. And Guy's not just going to up and gone. He'll keep at it, as he said, till December. But things have to get different. Things have to get better. Things have to change. And that's not me griping at you. That's me just being as candid with you as I've always tried to be. There are things in the near future that we hope will change for the better for the horn. Because part of the promise that we make is that as long as you continue to support, we will continue to try to find more support. And that's as heartfelt a promise as we can make. So cross your fingers. Those of you who do contribute to support the horn and to support Guy, know that you have our unending and heartfelt thanks. And know that we will go on as long as humanly possible. Guy has business that has to be attended to tomorrow. He will not be on the air live tomorrow, but he is going to, if he has to move heaven and hell, he has told me that he will do everything in his power to be on Thursday. Thank you for what you've done to make this succeed so far, because simply being on the air is success. In a world where the only model for being on the air is to somehow compromise some level of values, the fact that at the horn we do not have to